participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Oh, let's try another one.
You're on the air.
Good evening, gentle person. How are you?
Why, I'm fit to be tied. How are you?
I'm okay. All this talk about Bush. Why is it that on the Don and Mike show they could spell W-A-T, but they can't say
I'm taken aback, sir. I'm shocked. I'm amazed. I'm surprised and hurt that you use such language. But on the other hand, you do have a point.
And they can't say and balls either,
or duty, or anything.
That
you got it. Keep coming. You're doing.
Can't say. Right. No, I don't understand.
It's almost like being in the sixth grade again, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? All men are 16 years old. They're playing with their nuts and they're looking to stick it somewhere. All of them. All of them. All the time. And that's all there is to it.
The Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, no.
There you go.
No.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, speaking for the state of California.
There they are. The captain.
Join Arnold.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Mike, I've never felt closer to you than I do right now.
Hello, Rob.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Troy Boy and Ape Man and all the ships at sea. Sometimes they try, but it won't come out. Don Geronimo and Wildmare.
Thank you, Rob, and hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. This is the Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Friday, October 10th.
Right.
We are nationally syndicated. Westwood One. They're funny. Our phone number is 877-365-3636. That's from anywhere. If you're listening to us in Canada. Yeah, sorry, Rob. We got a Canadian line, 800-636-1067. And from Washington, you call 202-432-1067.
Very good.
Seven, that's the number.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Alan.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up. Did you wash the ass today?
Someone called for a doctor?
There it is.
There it is.
We're on the air. We're here. We're queer. Yeah.
We're not going skiing.
And wow, what a good day this has turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in this little thing that I write things down on, I had maybe an argument scheduled with our general manager, which we don't have to have now.
Okay. Why? Oh, that's good.
Because he saw the light.
About the equipment?
No, the equipment, not about the equipment, Mike. The lights are worse than ever, and today, if you're counting it, playing along at home, it's microphone number four. If you had microphone number four in the pool today, you're a winner. Yeah, come down to the station and claim your prize if you had microphone number four.
Yeah, the entire studio is put together with Silly Putty today. That's what we have.
Yeah. And if you had number four and you guessed that it would be Scotch tape.
Yeah.
alerting the DJ not to use it, well then,
congratulations, you've just doubled your prize.
What a facility.
Yeah. But that's not, this was something that I don't even have to bring up now. It has to do with money that we give away on the show.
Well, I'm glad that's taken care of.
That he had tried to be evil because that's his nature. See, we're given... Is that a bright light in your eyes?
I'm a little overwhelmed by the Wrigley Field style lighting that we have in here today.
We got new television in here now.
Let's try all of them, Rob. That entire row.
Mike, I need light over here though on my side. And
well, why is it different than it used to be?
Because, well, when they hooked it up, they didn't hook it up right.
Yeah, much better.
When they hooked it up, they didn't. Well, see, that doesn't help me now though.
Oh, really?
Because I need that light here to see this. Yeah.
Well, I've been working in this studio for how many years, and I have never had direct like cornea burning light in my eyes.
Turn the lights off, please.
Just down.
Turn them down.
Down.
Turn them down.
Oh, now that's great.
Now Rob, darkness. Funny.
Oh, that is funny. Fantastic.
Funny. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Okay.
You know, that's real.
All you need now is a nice Asian girl to kind of give you a handy.
How about a little nice music? You know? Don? Don't you like the lights like this?
No, I don't.
It's kind of overcast out today. It's kind of lovely in here.
No, I don't.
Boy, this makes me feel so
good. Turn them up a little bit. I'm over here with Fonzie.
I have no problem with those two lights, which you need, not the ones that are directly in back of you, are on an angle directly
to your butler.
Talk
to your butler. What do you need? Which ones?
Raymond?
Which ones do you not want?
The back ones, Rob. Just all the way down. Yeah, there you go. And then the other one, too, which is the worst one, in back of you. Right there, straight down.
How about like that?
Perfect.
Okay.
Done. Now, can you see all right? Are you happy?
It's not 100%, but if you're happy, I'm happy. If you're happy, I'll work through it.
You know what?
Are you happy?
Well, now you can turn them up.
How about this?
What?
Now you can turn the lights up. Because that's what
yeah. Now that one. Now that
that's
one.
Too bright?
That's right in my eye. That's like.
What's in your eye? Oh, that one. Yeah.
You know.
Turn that one down.
Okay, fine.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah. That works for me.
Good.
That works for me.
You know, I think it was so much better when we had like 8 of the bulbs burned out.
We should make a list right now. Someone should write this down.
Well, I'll write it down.
Okay. Check studio.
Before show.
Right. No, I'm serious. Check. This is how you got to get it done. Check. D-I-O. Underline. Okay. There you go. Hey, Rob. Yeah. That note's for you.
Great.
Check studio.
This is of no use, though, if you're not in here to help me know where to point them.
Well, they all ought to be pointed in the same direction every day.
They should all be pointed directly at me.
spot.
No, but there is a way. We have the worst, like, Brady Bunch 1970s retro, not-on-purpose retro track lighting.
If it was modern track lighting, we wouldn't have this problem.
And
it would be much more directional.
They literally throw off enough heat to keep food warm.
Yeah. Okay, so the lights are okay. And
good.
If you have microphone number 4...
Winner.
You're a winner. And the deal is this, that every quarter we're given a certain amount...
Kidding. I'm joking.
Don't squint
it. It's not that way anymore at all.
Are you doing your Chinaman thing, or
no,
are you?
No, I'm not. I was joking about the lights being bright, but it's fine.
Hey, Rob.
No,
I want Mike to be comfortable.
No.
Turn it down a little bit. No, seriously. Just turn it down a little bit.
Depends. There.
Okay, there you go.
That's fabulous.
Okay.
That's fabulous.
You comfortable now?
I am, but I've never had a problem with the lights in the studio until they replaced those bulbs, and now I'm very happy.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Well, no, I mean, I don't complain, do I, very often? Really?
So
do we not keep the studio the temperature that you want it every day? Have I ever, in the years we've been working together, outside of when I may be ill...
Keeps you sharper, baby.
Oh, God.
The cold air keeps you sharper.
I've had, bronchitis in the studio, and he will keep it, it is...
Well, look what you're wearing today. Look what you're wearing today.
Because you are comfortable wearing... You wear winter clothing in the middle of the summer when we're doing this show. I wear
I wear my fair share of Hawaiian shirts and the like.
Occasionally.
But now it's I'm autumnal now.
And you wear, and I, you know, I always remember that when I'm dressing for the studio, I should wear like what you would wear on a 50-degree day on a golf course. That's what you should wear.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, no, you're right.
You're autumnal.
You don't complain about you know.
I don't think I've ever complained about the lights in the studio.
But at least I'm not crazy with the mood swing about the temperature. I just like it at what it is right now.
Which I love it here.
It's freezing.
Right now, I'm comfortable. I feel good.
You're comfortable. I'm comfortable. Buzz?
How are you, Buzz?
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Well, you have your own studio.
I do.
Right.
So here's the deal. We have money that we're allowed to give away,
mm-hmm.
and because we didn't give away all of the money in the last quarter,
right?
Because this is, as I'm reminded continually, a corporation, not just a radio station. Because we didn't spend that money, we didn't give it away, we lose it.
No.
And so I had to.
Well, that's not right at all.
I had to have the argument with him, but it happened off the air, and mm-hmm. it had a happy resolution, which means we have, in essence, we have, I think, $3,000 extra dollars to give away.
That is exciting.
Now on this show that we had saved. So, you know, before we had this issue with the lights and with the microphone, again, on top of it, right here, living the dream right here I am.
Right.
And I'll tell you why today.
Why?
It is divine solitude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you were talking to me about that in the office.
I've talked to everybody about it.
Yes, you have.
It is life-altering at this point. 22 years of marriage to the same great gal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure a lot of people with the kids, you go through this. When the kid leaves,
right.
and he's gone, and we're fine with that now, then you realize that the person that you're married to is well, you kind of get the person back that maybe you married in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's not like that universally for everybody. I know my wife wouldn't want me the way that I was, you know, 18 years ago necessarily. But I like her better the way that she was. That's why I married her, as mm-hmm. a matter of fact, because I like her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now here's my point. Now he's gone, and I've decided all over again. It was never up for a debate, but good news for her and for me. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like good. It when it's just she and I. She's my best friend, and I love that. Now, having said that...
that would be a qualifying statement that you've made?
Having said that, she has gone to her mother's house for the last couple of days.
Huh.
And she'll be there through tomorrow. And it is simply... You know what it is? It's solitude, and all men crave solitude, whether you admit it or not, and even if you're going through a situation like Mike is, where, you know, maybe it's not of his choice, there has to be some point when, even at your lowest, you realize, well, at least here you are, doing what you want to do.
It is a, you used the word in the office, and I forgot what it was.
Liberating.
It is liberating.
Yeah.
There is really nothing quite like being on your own. And people that are widowed, people that mm-hmm. divorce, people that go through a breakup, many of them will say the same thing, that one of the nice things, if you like being in your own skin, which I'd say most of us do at some level, it is a great feeling.
And I
share that with you.
Mm-hmm. It's freaking great. I mean, I love her, and I want her to, you know, when she's done getting her pedicure, whatever she's doing, you know, come back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. But it's been a very, very calm, and here's why it's guilt-free, and this is why it's good. Maybe I'll give you some hope coming through the other side of the tunnel
right.
if you have kids, because I had a couple of conversations with my kid today from down at his college about just about crap,
mm-hmm.
about junk, you know, just filler stuff, but he's fine.
Good.
She's fine.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I have a family.
Yeah.
I love my family, but right now...
You like your solitude.
They're gone.
You know, it's guilt-free solitude.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm telling you, you're sitting there, and you're thinking, well, you know what? I'm glad that this is my house. I'm walking around reclaiming. How stupid is this? Looking at this, actually saying to the dogs, look, this is where I live.
Right.
This is
yours. This belongs to you.
Yes. I mean, and not just with
a great feeling.
Not with the worldly possession. Even outside, look,
right.
my tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I live.
What did you wear today when you were kicking around? Knowing you had the whole place to yourself. Did you underwear it today or most of the time?
No, I did not. I wore the standard, you know, uniform. Just the sweatpants and a T-shirt.
Even when you got up in the morning?
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? Mm-hmm. I got some dignity. I've got some...
Well, then hold on a second. Dignity has nothing...
The thing is, my wife...
One of the great things about solitude is walking around your own home...
I agree.
...completely bare-ass naked.
Here's what I meant, though. I would never walk around naked. I mean, never.
I have an A-frame... Which you can see in the house, and I walk around naked at night.
Charge admission.
With all of the lights on.
The problem, I've gotten so used to my wife in the way that she always has guys coming over to fix something or install something or people coming over that really the risk, I do go, you know, without sweatpants upstairs.
Well, I had an embarrassing moment with the deck guys that came over, you know, unannounced at 9 a.m.
Oh.
And... I was coming out of the office. I wasn't naked. I had my boxer shorts on with my hair sticking straight up in the air and nothing else on.
Exactly.
And was confronted by this guy that that resembled George the Animal Steele standing at the glass door. I don't have a solid door. I have a glass door.
Yeah.
And he was standing there just looking at me, and I was looking at him.
And
I just put my arms up in the air. And I didn't. It was nonverbal, so I can't communicate this on the radio. But the look I gave him was, what? What are you doing? And then I threw something on and found out they were here to house.
That's why when I said I have dignity, that's what I meant, is that because there are always guys coming.
I'm glad they didn't catch me staying in the house.
There are guys walking up. Same deal. You know, always guys. Uh-huh. What I love also about my role in life where I am is that even when there are work guys there like there were yesterday,
mm-hmm.
they know not to ask me any questions.
Oh,
they just come up and go.
I wish I could say the same thing.
Mrs. Frieda here? I go. No, she's going to Mama's house. Okay. Anything I can help you with? No.
No.
And then it starts with I'm bad at that, you know, and I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
No, he can't do anything. He's so stupid. He doesn't know where the water pump is. He's the big dumb one. We have to wait for his wife to come home for these decisions to be made.
Well, I was just curious as to what you would wear around the house. I guess you dress in casual, like sweat clothes, in case anybody shows up.
Yeah, but it's just... And Rob was the recipient of some of that just pure 100% joy last night.
Mm-hmm.
Watching TV, on the phone.
Right.
Hey, it's Rob. Hi, Rob. Hi, what are you doing? What are you doing? Then I hear in the background his wife and his kids and you know, the sounds. Mm-hmm. And he said, what are you doing? And I just stood up and I assumed, solitude! It really reverberated throughout the empty house.
You've always enjoyed your solitude, though.
Yeah, there's something great.
I agree. You're a lone wolf.
There's something great. Buzz, do you agree?
Everybody needs a certain amount of time by themselves.
I think the three of us are extremely lone wolf types, though.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we like doing our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
We really do.
In case she's listening today, you know, and I don't think she is, but who knows? Because that crazy
you've covered it.
That crazy pedicure schedule. You know, love you, baby. Come on back, bud. If you got to wait until late in the day tomorrow, I'm fine with that.
Well, that cheers me up on what is a pretty dark day for me, so I think that's good.
Good.
I'm glad that you're happy.
This is about the Red Sox?
No. We had a death at the house. We lost a hamster today.
Oh.
And I that's the one that attacked me, the one that
was
violent.
Pulling on the string?
that's pretty horrible, what you just said, but I'll let it go. Oscar, renamed after the dog that we used to have. Oscar, in the corner, rolled up, in obviously in his sleep, passed away. And it was, I think, relatively... I discovered Oscar just afterwards because the body was still soft.
Yeah.
Well, and it was sad.
So that's the story you're telling your kids?
I haven't decided what I'm going to tell the kids yet. I mean, they have... they're veterans of mourning hamsters, so they can handle that. They can handle that, but it was, you know, it looked like...
Is this another mysterious hamster death, though, in your home?
Well, all the deaths... Now, wait a minute. All the deaths have occurred at either the house that we shared or at my ex's house. That's where they've lost a lot of hamsters, you know, out of the cage, behind the wall, that type. But this hamster lived a good long life.
Off the pant leg.
And he's in a better place.
Now, really, you couldn't touch this hamster. This hamster was not...
I bet you couldn't touch this hamster.
You couldn't handle it.
I bet you couldn't without a string,
you know,
like a pulley.
Oh, the memory of this hamster. Even though it attacked me and every time I touched it, it bit me, I liked the hamster because it was so resilient. It's not how I got rid of it.
That's not how? Would you just throw it in the woods?
We got birds of prey out where I live, so you know, I gave it a. I decided I'd recycle it.
You just didn't put the rat down the toilet?
No, I didn't want to flush it. I didn't want to flush it down the toilet.
The hamster, whatever it was.
I contributed to the circle of life. I decided to put it back out in the front yard.
Yeah,
for some reason, and you can laugh at me, you can mock at me, but I'm very serious when I say I experienced a slight sense of loss. I really did.
Sure.
It's the only...
You are pathetic.
It is the only living creature in my house when my kids aren't there.
Hold on a second.
It's the only living...
Shut up!
It's the only living creature there, and I felt a little bummed.
Shut up!
I was bummed.
Do you think you could replace it and the girls know?
Yeah, probably. Well, they're the pygmy hamsters, and it grew a little bit, so... Because I fed it very well, and I watered it very well.
Good news, I put them on a diet.
Oh, Rob. No, they're very, we're very upfront with the animals that pass away, so. Yeah.
I'm sorry that you are touched by the passing of this great hamster.
You know, I was a little bit, and, you know.
You're all broken up about it, aren't you?
Well, I can't have a dog where I live, in the house that I rent. It's part of my lease arrangement. I can't have a dog. I couldn't have a dog anyway, because I'm not there all the time. And
why'd you get some pussy?
I'm not a cat person.
No, he doesn't like cats.
You, no effing way I'd get a cat.
You might, you might like a nice little pussy cat.
Well, absolutely. But could you suggest an exotic? Perhaps an exotic
cat? Those are the
best kind. Sure, I can. Let me think of the type of.
I was thinking maybe a bird. Can you go away for long periods of time and a bird will survive?
And you know what? Not only can you teach a bird to cuss, they'll live 80 years.
And now stepping up to the lone mic in the studio.
I like him to die after a while.
Joe weighing in on this heady topic.
I have a parakeet, and he's really cool.
Thank you, Joe. What?
Does he require a lot of maintenance?
No, not at all. He just eats seed and drinks a little bit of water.
How long can you turn on the radio
and he sings to Michelle Branch.
Well, I will take that under advisement, Shaggy. Thank you very much. I'll see what we can do with that.
You should tell your butler to go buy you a parakeet.
There you go. I'm not sure. I don't want a parakeet. If I'm going to get a bird, I want a real bird.
Uh-huh. White lion?
No, like a falcon.
How about a white lion? Montecore.
It's available. And then, I think I need a low-maintenance animal.
Mike O'Mara says, don't kill the lion. Don't kill the tiger that mauled me to death.
A ferret?
I heard some horrible stuff about him. Yeah, is there anything in the press about that?
Mike,
about the coma?
About Roy?
I mean, yeah.
Before we get to Roy Horn.
Roy's in rough shape. Yeah.
There is a bigger story happening today.
I heard. Yeah.
The Rush Limbaugh story.
Oh, boy.
Confirmed.
Buzz came in before we went on the air. Buzz, do you have the story?
I do, in fact. I was tipped off by one of our listeners in Wichita. And according to the Newswire...
Can they call you on that special Kansas phone?
Yes, the Sunflower Hotline. Syndicated radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh has admitted to his national radio audience that he is addicted to painkillers. Limbaugh says, quote, part of what you have heard and read is correct. I am addicted to prescription pain medication. Limbaugh says he will check himself into a rehab facility at the end of his broadcast today.
Well,
he's a hump.
Well,
30 days, we hear.
Should have said it a while ago.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah. You know, anyway, finally he knows there's no way out, so he finally decides he's not going to lie to his audience anymore.
Okay, well, you know, we have the Inquirer. We have both last week's Inquirer and this week's Inquirer. Mm-hmm. And in the original article, that I don't think we ever read on the air, you know, they have numbers in here about pills. During one four-month period from July 19th, to November 13th of 2001, so that's July, August, September, October, November, roughly 4.5 months. The king of conservative talk radio got a staggering 11,900 pills from Wilma.
God.
Jesus.
That's triple.
By the middle of last year, shortly before Limbaugh was detoxed in New York, his order had skyrocketed to more than 30 OxyContin pills a day.
Oh, my God.
There were times when there were times I was worried. All those pills are enough to kill an elephant.
Yeah.
Never find a man. Never mind a man, said Wilma.
Wilma!
30. Wow.
Dang. Wilma. Well,
look at his face. Look at his face on the Inquirer, though. You know, when the Inquirer likes to find those pictures that make people look bad.
Not a
tough task with Rush.
And then if you go to there's Wilma. And that's the housekeeper, and she's holding one of the cigar boxes that she would... We mentioned this the other day. She would swap. Right. It would be full of pills. The other box would be full of his money. Then here's some pictures of the pills. And then if you continue on...
They're pretty.
Right here, we have Rush Limbaugh. It's a picture of him... first, there's the Denny's, where he allegedly made his deals.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Rush on the golf course.
With his cigar.
And, it's...
And he's a guy that... He's the kind of guy that I think smokes cigars just to be a slicky boy. You know, those kind of guys like to have it hanging out of their mouth, look like a big shot.
So, let's see, hold on a second, because they mentioned that he was always carried them with him. Very Elvis-like. let me see. Whenever new pills came in, I was to hide them under the mattress on his side of the four-poster bed. He had a stash on his private airplane and even took the pills on the golf course with him. And then that's where they have the picture of him on the golf course.
Wow. You know, everybody you talk to, the one thing you hear about these type of prescription narcotics is that they are overwhelmingly addictive. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is...
Mind you, hold on. During the first 47 days, she kept her ledger. It shows she delivered 4,350 pills to Limbaugh.
Oh, my God.
There's addictive, and then there's what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
So, anyway...
He was hungry.
Good luck.
Well, you know, it's going to be over now because he came out and he admitted it, and that's it.
Should have done that a long time ago.
You know what? My question would be if he was taking this volume,
unbelievable.
I mean, that is going to be very tough for him to kick. I mean, it's not 30 days ain't going to do it. Yeah. I got news for you.
A couple of Motrin, not going to do it.
Motrin.
Buzz, you probably know this, but they have here about what he was taking the pills. They're very effective at alleviating pain, but can also produce euphoria. Which I guess would not be bad, and decrease alertness.
Wow.
So,
You know, I think it's pretty important that I come clean with something here that I've been known to have sometimes on a weekend 30 Michelobes. I just thought I'd announce that before, you know, anybody gets wind of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't smuggle them in a cigar box.
And not 30 a day. That's over the course of an entire weekend.
You'll never see RJ. You'll never see Mike's butler RJ. Pointing the finger at Mike on one of these supermarket tabloids.
No, he signed the agreement.
You never see picking up the cabbage.
And he doesn't have to sign anything, Rob, because there's nothing to be told about Mike. And I'll tell you why. Because I've already heard, it's a touching story about last night. Mike was out.
I gave down all the details of the end of my night last night.
Yeah.
Mike was out. He had a drink. And he said to me, so RJ drove him home, his butler.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, really? And Mike said, I'll tell you what happened.
What happens
every time.
No, just semi-regular. It doesn't happen every time, but it happens, you know, regularly.
Okay.
Mike said that...
When we have a band thing, and I'm having a toddy or two.
That's right, at a show.
Mike is being driven by his butler, and they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 5 minutes, Mike falls asleep. And what is it that you hear?
Usually about a mile from the house. He'll say that to me. He said, Mike, we're about a mile from the house now. And I'll wake up and... thank him,
mm-hmm.
In the case of last night, I had cash and reimbursed him for the Buzz gifts, which he had. And incidentally, it was over the limit that I had set for him. Just so, in case you were wondering,
wow.
And I gave him a little extra on top of that, kissed him gently on the cheek and sent him on his way.
You're a nice owner. Or I don't know what you would call a guy with
an owner. He was going to his own quarters.
You're a you're a nice master.
But his quarters are not on my property. You see, so not yet.
Not yet.
He could live in the house. There's plenty of Lord knows there's plenty of room. But I like you. I enjoy
solitude.
My solitude.
Yeah. Embrace solitude.
And that brings it full circle, doesn't it?
It does.
If RJ were to move in, would that replace your need for a hamster? Another living being.
Yeah, it probably would.
And he doesn't shed.
Yeah, but the hamster didn't shed at all, except he got those wood
chips. I maintain. Shut up! That's pathetic. That's pathetic.
I have no living creatures in the house.
And
I had nothing in the house.
Imagine finding him some morning curled up, you know.
In the corner.
That would
kill
you.
In the corner of his wood chips. That would be a real drag.
Yeah. That's sad. That's sad, man.
But, of course, if you really wanted to get all the detail on a hamster death, you made it RJ, you'd have to have some of his own issue around.
Of course. It happened.
Which the hamster had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody on the screen is saying, get a snake, Mike.
I'd love to hear those calls because that really fascinates me.
Johnny?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
You like ball pythons?
You know, I've always thought I'd like to have a snake.
Hey, Mike, do you like pythons?
For real low maintenance.
Really?
One time a week, one mouse a week. You don't have to touch it. You don't have to look at it if you don't want. But you can't hold them. They won't bite you. They're cool.
You know what? I might think about that. A snake. Do they get
once
out?
Once a week.
No, they
won't get out.
They don't get out?
No, nothing like that ever comes up in the news.
And this guy,
they don't bite. You're taking advice from this guy on the phone.
I'd like to get a snake.
I got one. Cool.
They don't bite what they can't swallow whole.
Oh, really?
Well, haven't you seen that thing where they that's why they feed the mice, right?
Right, exactly. They are called boa constrictors, and they do constrict things to death.
Well, I'm curious as to how big they get.
Yeah,
Did you just burp?
Me?
Yes.
No.
I heard a burp.
So did I.
The I said, happy birthday, Buzzy.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, right. Okay, Mike, this is your crocodile hunter guy. This is your
expert.
This is
not the only one calling in that says get a snake. I'm not going to take it solely on this guy's recommendation.
He's no snake stabler. He's no snake Bliskin. If you've watched the Lost in New York movie, hi John.
John Norman, you offer some insight on this subject?
Snakes will bite you, whether they can eat you or not. I had a buddy that had a boa constrictor, and he got bit.
Badly?
Had to go to the hospital.
Escape from New York. That is the movie with Kurt Russell as Snake Bliskin.
I'm going to take a poisonous snake.
Great.
Like a cobra.
Good. Good, that's nice.
A spitting cobra.
I'll have to keep the anti-venom on hand.
I think chicks would dig it.
Then we can get you those mud flaps for your car with Yosemite Sam. Let's say real big. Back off.
So you somehow tie in snakes with rednecks?
Well, hello. Are you still there, sir? Hey, are you still there? No,
I guess he's gone.
Hold on. Maybe I put him on. Let me see. Is this same guy?
No, this is a different guy. This is Tim, but I have snakes also, though.
What kind of snakes do you have?
I own 3 ball pythons, 2.5 to about 4 feet. I also have 3 Burmese pythons, which are the big ones, like 12 foot. But
I think it's very basement of the science club.
But, Mike, they are quite easy to take care of. Like the previous caller said, 1 or 2 mice a week. They are the ones that the pet stores recommend if you have young kids because they're one of the more docile pythons, and they only get to be 4 feet.
Less chance that they'll kill your children.
You know, I have a little fear of snakes, so this would be a good way to calm my fear.
Well, the big thing with the python or any snake that you're feeding live or killed prey to is that you feed them in a separate area from their cage so that they don't associate you reaching in there.
How many militias do you belong to?
Well, only 4. No.
Wait, so you have to take it out to feed it? It's better.
Yeah, it's best to do that. It's best to take it out. I sometimes use my bathtub, plug the drain.
All right, are you wearing camo right now?
No.
Camouflage?
You've got quite an image of the snake handlers. This is interesting.
I believe I do. I watch the Learning Channel. I know what's happening. Let me just break in and say, constant contest winner right now for you. You've won the Halloween costume of your choice, courtesy of Masters Costumes, 7 locations in the D.C. area. Go to masterscostumes.com. Even though you don't live here,
they'll
send you a costume for Halloween.
Great.
Hold on just a second, please.
Thank you, Don.
Hold on. You're very welcome, sir. That's
he was very. I thought he was very informative.
Yeah.
And we really, I'm not setting up a bit here. We very rarely do this. We're going to say about 3:30. About 12:30 out west.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take about 2 minutes to talk to a lady from the Pentagon.
Very good.
No, she's outside. She'll be in a second.
Oh, well, bring her in. I didn't know she's coming in. Bring her in, for goodness sakes. To talk about this this car wash going on at the Pentagon.
Very good.
Which is tomorrow to help out the Pentagon police officers, Fraternal Order of Police. So here she comes.
That's right.
See, the thing is, because, they're from the Pentagon, mm-hmm. I can't do my usual. Come on. Move it.
Yeah,
we have to show the proper amount of respect, and they are law enforcement officials.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but it still doesn't mean that we can't say, move it.
I know. We just here they come.
We're on a
hello.
Hey, hi there.
Hi, enter and sign in, please.
Hi, who are you?
I'm Bonnie Chester.
And Bonnie.
Bonnie is wearing a She-Devil baseball shirt here. That's a little scary right there.
And you are?
Art Rosati with the Colonel.
We need you to jump. We only have one microphone. Microphone number 4 is...
Sorry about our facility. It's a terrible facility. It really is. I mean, it's a network show, but it's just...
I always wanted to see it.
Okay, well, that's good.
Doesn't it suck? Don't the surroundings suck, really?
It's smaller than I expected.
Yeah. Would you comment on the lighting?
The lighting is dim and yellowish.
Yeah. What year, taking a look at these track lights that we have, what year would you figure they were manufactured?
71.
Very 71. Good. Absolutely.
Good guess.
That's terrific.
You notice this over here? Can you look on my side of the board real fast? You see that?
I can see that.
What is that?
That
scotch tape. That's how they fix things.
Yeah, that's how they do it around
here. Thanks, you guys are high speed.
That's a good way. That is a good way of putting it. We are high speed.
Here is your commercial right now for the car wash tomorrow. Go ahead.
You speak.
Go ahead.
They're deciding who's going to be the spokesperson.
Who's speaking?
Well, right. Bonnie's going to go ahead and speak at first because she deserves a lot of credit for this, and she's done a lot of hard work on it. So I'll let Bonnie go ahead and go.
All right. Explain, first of all, what is this benefiting? What are we doing the car wash for?
The Fraternal Order of Police.
Very good.
The Pentagon Police Department. Those of us that were there, the first and still there on 9/11,
mm-hmm.
We're supporting police officers that were either killed or injured in the line of duty, including other police officers from other agencies. We've also had some of our police officers were put on active duty. which their families need assistance, and that's what we're raising money for.
Now, you're talking about the guys that are over in Iraq right now that are going over there, the reservists that that go over there. And so, one of the news stories is they've been over there so much longer than was originally anticipated that they need support for their families.
That's basically what we're trying to do. So anything that anybody can do to come out, help us wash cars, get the car washed, donate. Bonnie's done a lot of work with baked goods and stuff like that.
If I can understand, Don, the way that works, Norris, if you get your car, if you go to the car wash, you know, you don't say, I'm going to pay what I pay at a Mr. Wash. You go in there, and if you'd like to make a larger donation,
yeah,
that's what you guys are looking for.
Right. And we saw you at the Pentagon, right?
Yes, sir.
Last 9/11?
I was there to got you guys inside the Pentagon for 9/11.
Thought we were nice.
That was a heck of a day for us, and we still appreciate that. We really do.
So your event is tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Navy Gas Exchange Station, South Joyce Street. And that's right next door to the Pentagon, Columbia Pike and Joyce Street.
Right. It's the Navy Exchange gas station.
Gotcha.
And if you go all the way to the end of Columbia Pike, it's right by the Pentagon.
All right. Hope you have a great turnout tomorrow.
Thank
Certainly
you.
Is a worthy
I
cause.
I wanted to say that for anybody who mentions the Don and Mike show, we're selling Combating Terrorism shirts, and they'll be $1 off for anybody who mentions the show.
Oh, terrific. Okay.
There you go.
That's good. Well, good luck with that, guys, and I hope everybody comes down there. It's supposed to be actually a pretty decent day tomorrow. That's the way I understand it. Come on down there and support the car wash.
Everybody. All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you,
souvenirs, the whole works.
Great. And you'll have all sorts of stuff down there for people can buy also, right?
That's
okay,
right.
Great. Wonderful.
Everything.
All right, you're welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Good luck with that tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you, Pentagon.
These are good people down there, and a lot of those guys were first in when that building was hit by the jet.
Yeah,
so those guys, and a lot of families down there, a lot of stories, amazing.
We happily give them time from our dribble.
Sure. Absolutely.
We happily do. Let me just wait till they clear by.
I don't know.
They might be going down to the green room.
I should have said this to them when they were here.
Mm-hmm.
That's serious. But if they want to know tragedy, they should talk to a man who's lost a hamster.
You don't know. I think you just threw the cold water in my face.
Okay,
you just snapped me out of it.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Richard Hayden?
Tommy.
So where's my dad? I thought he was going to meet me at the airport.
He was at the airport this morning, but you weren't on the plane.
He said he had a surprise for me.
Maybe. I guess you should have called.
I did call earlier when using the phone.
Earlier? When was that?
Or later when then I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
The Don and Mike Show. Not cost much. With half a loaf of bread and an empty cup, I found myself two friends, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was hoping for a short one there.
Right.
And instead I got the one from the Iceland trip.
Yes, the menu on the back of the plane menu. That's what you read.
A loaf of bread.
Need not cost much.
11,000 OxyContin pills.
In a month.
Okay. So during the break, I'm on the I call it the gore. The internet.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm on www.algore, and everything about Rush Limbaugh is right there. All the stuff Buzz said.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking 30 days off to dry out. You don't really know what was going on.
Based on the pills he has, he'll take 30 days and he'll have plenty left over when he comes back.
I think it was just yesterday on the show that I'm mentioning. I'm not trying to rub his nose in it. I just wondered aloud yesterday how come he had gotten past the Donovan McNabb stuff, but all this, the stuff in the Inquirer, everybody just kind of forgot about.
Yeah, not a word. With the Arnold stuff, that's all anybody wanted to talk about.
Well, there's a new Inquirer that's out today,
mm-hmm.
which has a follow-up to the Inquirer stuff from last week.
Sure.
But the ones from last week are pretty great, too. When if you take Wilma at her word.
Right.
And obviously there has to
Wilma is the housekeeper.
Yeah, there has to be some truth to this because Rush Limbaugh is going into a rehab.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck. And here now are emails that Rush Limbaugh sent Wilma. And what they've done is they've printed the actual email that she saved.
Wow.
Let me see. Date, Wednesday the 21st. Damn. I replied immediately when you wrote this morning and said you didn't give me any. Where are you leaving? Can I persuade you to delay? Then here's one that's Thursday, the 3rd of January. Holy moly! Okay, give me some idea of availability today / tonight. Then you go to...
Oh, man. These are funny.
Tuesday, June 28th, 2002. 100 equals 2.5 to 3 days of the little blues. You know how this stuff works. The more you get used to, the more it takes. But I will try and cut down to help out. But remember, this is only for just a little more over 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. I understand your challenge and will do all I can do to help. But I kind of want to go out with a bang, if you get my drift.
Oh.
Hee, hee, hee.
Man.
Wow. There's one more.
Pretty fascinating.
From Rush Limbaugh to Wilma O'Line.
Wilma.
Subject, get the cabbage.
There's his code.
God. Wednesday, 20 May. Thank you. I will have to estimate for you, since I have seldom had only 80s at one time. I'm guessing that 30 will last me 3.5 to 4 days. Maybe a little less, being honest. But I will work on trying to cut back if necessary, but remember, it was only for 2 more weeks, maybe 16 days.
Classic addiction talk.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He is.
What about using decimals for estimating how long?
3.5 to 4 days.
3.5 days.
I know that, you know, I'm hooked on phonics. I'm not the best reader, obviously, but the print on this is very tiny in the Inquirer. Very hard to make out this print. Maybe 16 days. This obviously could go longer when mixed with the little blues, which I happen to really like. I sense the little blues are easier to get, but they don't go as far because they are smaller. A mixture of the two is fine. Whatever is easiest for you.
Joe Arden's got to be laughing his ass off in the back room right now.
I mean,
the little blues, they don't go as far.
So here's the thing about this, and I said it before, and I really mean it. As someone who's been very close to, not that, but, you know, do a Google search on me sometime. Here's the thing. Just do it and shut up. Just do your time, get clean, and shut up. Rush Limbaugh now has been quoted over the years. I mean, one thing you'll hear me say on the show is don't do drugs. I got messed up with drugs. But I'm not going to say, oh, if you do drugs, you're an awful person. I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, you know, reformed people, whether it's a smoker or and all the way up, you can't preach from the mountaintop. And people that preach, beware, really.
Yeah.
There but for the grace of God go I. I say that about everybody that gets in this kind of spreading.
So we have many, many quotes from Rush Limbaugh. I'm appalled at people who simply want to look at this abhorrent behavior and say, people are going to do drugs anyway, let's legalize it. It's a dumb idea, it's a rotten idea. And those who are for it are purely 100% selfish.
Wow.
Ted Kennedy, who was said to be shaped like a Chivas Regal bottle.
Chivas Regal,
sorry, that's booze.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with legalizing drugs is it's another abhorrent example of human behavior that we've suddenly decided, hey, we can't handle it. We've given up. You're going to destroy your life. You're going to take it away. You're going to make it easy. And all of us who accept the responsibilities of life and don't destroy our lives on drugs will pray for whatever messes you get into.
You know what? This is why.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's...
This is why I think this really, if people really think about this and really give it some serious thought, and I'm being serious here right now, it really makes a statement about what it is to be a human being. We're all human beings. Mm-hmm. And when these guys, including some on this station, you know, preach from the high mountain and just think that they're...
You must be speaking of Mr. Bill O'Reilly. You can say his name.
I believe I was speaking of Mr. O'Reilly.
He, like myself, Mike. Yes. This is Don, still speaking as Rush.
Yes, yes, Don.
I am only hooked on myself. My solitude. I believe Bill O'Reilly suffers from the same syndrome. It is called I Am Great Syndrome.
Yes, I Am Great Syndrome.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Angels.
But this is why, you know, these guys that do this, Everybody's a human being.
Yeah.
Everybody's got foibles.
He now says he's been addicted for years, that it started with after some spinal surgery, that he started taking this, and
right.
and then it just mushroomed from there.
Well, anywho.
Well, it always starts with some sort of injury, right?
Right.
I mean,
well, almost always.
Yeah, unless you're at the right party.
Right.
And whatnot. Got a couple directions we can go right here. Of course, your phone calls is always standing by, and we can take phone calls. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys. I know he was reading from the Inquirer, and he was saying about the little blues. The little blues, that's the volume that they're very easy to get. Everybody who says they have some kind of problem at the doctor, the first thing the doctor wants to do is prescribe the volume. That's why they're readily available.
Let me ask you a question.
It wasn't Valium.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Do you own a snake?
Yes, I just
said. There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
You got an ESP going on that.
I think I got it. Buzz, what was your point about the pill?
Hey, he was talking about Valium, I believe, if I heard him correctly.
Yes, Buzz.
Yeah, no, Valium's not involved here. It's,
wouldn't a little blues be Vicodin?
Oxycontin and hydrocodone, which is Vicodin. And then
the hydrocodone, well, Lyrica and Vicodin are the same thing, and that's what got me. I'm clean now, 2.5 years. And I mean, everything that I hear you guys talk about, it's the stories that I had to tell and make myself believe. But, you know, after being clean for 2.5 years, it's been nice.
Congratulations on that. How does your snake feel about that?
Okay.
What's your snake's name?
Jake.
Jake the snake.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, guys. You guys are great. Love you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you, and congratulations on being clean.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. That's him clean.
Right.
Can you imagine him dirty?
Well, the snake's not dirty.
Can you imagine? But, Mike, there's another ringing endorsement for you with the snake.
Right.
Now, we're going to talk to our pal Rob here.
Oh, hi.
Because we got a couple of different ways we can go. First, we have the PSAs that kind of my go-to stack here. We've not heard them. Beyond Skin, Building Understanding Between Races.
Oh, God.
Now, the other thing I want to...
I'm scared.
But you're going to be scared about the other option as well.
Okay.
The other option would be a trip into the Rob Spiewak mailbag, including Rob being sent souvenirs through the mail.
Wow.
So
such a difficult choice.
It's not... The souvenir, he's gotten worse.
Yeah,
He's gotten worse.
Rob's gotten worse, or the souvenir guy that's sending him stuff?
No, Rob has gotten worse souvenirs in the mail, and... The only thing that I'll say about, because the PSA CD, we've not listened to this.
No.
These could be the greatest public service announcements in the history of the world, and like most things on this show, it'll be just another thing we do that's not funny.
Right.
We have no guarantee that this is going to be funny.
Right.
Now, the letter, I've read the letter.
And you know the letter's funny.
in an unintentional way, yes. Yes, it is. And there's a name with it, and I think maybe even a phone number.
I don't know if there was a phone number or not, but I personally, I vote letter, because I think the letter is of the moment.
So the letter says as follows.
Well, I will defer to your judgment. I will. Whatever you want to
do. Did you want to go with the PSA?
No. No, I'd much rather go with the letter. Now he's going to put the PSAs in.
Well, we can just hear what one of them sounds like.
I'm scared.
Yeah, Mike, don't be scared.
I don't talk
about race on the show.
I know. I understand.
Everybody talks about it.
PSAs from the Mennonites. They generally do pretty good PSAs.
Okay.
Right. It's about diversity.
Let's talk about Hispanic cool.
Very good.
Let's hear that one. Right. Then we'll decide if we should hear more or not.
Choice.
Sometimes I think my people are so laid back that nothing matters. If it's...
Okay, today's not the day for that. Hey, it has to be a day. Well, I'm not. It's such a good mood.
I see. Okay.
And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike's going to need the Heimlich.
Not today. Not today.
I am sorry.
Not today. Too much opportunity.
Oh, my God.
Too much opportunity. Feeling too good.
That went down the wrong way.
Feeling too good today.
I think I'm going to have an aneurysm here.
Could get carried
away. Oh, my God. You just played 2 seconds of it.
That's a good go-to. That's a whole segment, maybe two segments.
Excuse me. I apologize.
The letter is addressed as follows. Mr. Rob Spiewak. Care of JWFK, Don and Mike Show.
So this is an idiot right off the bat.
Well, yes.
It's a friend of... It's a F-O-R? It's a friend of Rob's?
Yeah.
Well, right. Hey now. No.
Well, he's sending it to you, right?
He's an FO. He's a fan of Rob.
Fan of Rob, not
fan
friend
of Rob, not friend of
Rob. Fan of Rob.
I don't know this
fan
guy from a hole in the wall.
Oh, boy. Rob's distancing himself. And, this must be bad.
Yeah. And look, you get the great handwriting, right?
Very good.
The nutty handwriting.
I love when they write on paper that has no lines and everything goes uphill.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
His presentation starts with a lovely card.
Probably a lefty.
A card, and that's a sunflower.
Oh. Now, that seems perfectly innocent.
And you open it up, and it says,
Kansas
Rob.
And he spelled my name right, which is also a weird thing.
R-O-B.
There are two B's with Rob's name. Mm-hmm. Rob, enjoy. Fred. P.S. Sorry for the folded letter.
Hmm.
Then you go to the next part of the presentation.
Here comes the evil part. Oh, it's typewritten.
Yes, and he's got a nice font program on his home computer. He's
very nice stationery.
Letterhead.
Stationery with his
very, like, almost congressional type.
Yeah.
His name. I won't mention where he lives, where in the United States he lives, but his last name is... Rob, it's Hertrick?
I think it's Hertrick.
Hertrick.
Gentlemen, if you're going to pronounce it, it would be Hertrick.
Hertrick.
H-E-R-T-R-I-C-H. Hertrick. Hertrick?
Hertrick.
Anyway.
Hi.
Like, hi, Malik.
Herr Rob, mein gut weiß Bruder, parentheses,
oh,
my good white brother.
Mm-hmm.
I am a loyal fan of the Don and Mike show, as I drive a truck and listen every day.
Oh, boy.
Although I realize your love of Germany is a bit on the show, I thought that any man who has a piece of the Hindenburg in a frame standing guard over his laundry room would like another piece of history. I bought several of these coins at an auction and have mine along with two other coins in my own frame, standing guard over my office. I hope you enjoy this piece of history from the, quote, golden era, unquote.
Wow.
I decided to let you clean it up so you could realize its beauty as it began to shine. We could have all been carrying these coins if things had turned out a little differently.
But they didn't.
No, they did not.
Thanks for producing such a great show. Yeah, it's what you think it is, Mike.
The two-mark coin with Hindenburg on it.
Give Don and Mike my regards.
Oh, God.
Tell Buzz, ain't nothing more nifty than finally turning 50.
Ah. Buzz, too.
Now, 35-year-old women look hot. Smile. Sincerely, Fred.
They always have.
Just a little German. And that's
very,
always,
you know, very,
just a little nutty, isn't it? Yeah.
Just a little disturbing.
It is.
Just a little nutty.
And it is a two-mark coin from 1939.
Rob, I think at some point...
It's got the bad mark in the bad.
You know, I think at some point you're going to have to compose a letter to these people. Because, you know, you get a lot of them. You're getting more and more, Rob.
I know.
You're going to have to, perhaps off the air compose something that's just a nice response to those people.
Perhaps hurt?
Perhaps...
Friendly,
but to the point.
We might want to just wait on that, though.
Yeah, of course you want to wait on
that. Well, I have a good there is a chance that we'll be broadcasting from Germany.
Oh, my God.
In the next few weeks. I've been told not to say anything about it, but there's a very good chance that we'll be taking one of those road trips to Germany to broadcast from. It's from Munich, right?
I think it's from Frankfurt.
Frankfurt. Oh, well.
That'll be good because they have the place in the airport where I can trade this in for American currency.
Oh, God.
So anyway...
And then go to jail.
Just want you to know, Fred, we have your information on file, sir.
Yeah, Fred, we filed that, and just in case.
Thanks for contacting the show.
Very, very interesting,
Fred.
Sending
Rob the swell, swell coin.
And I suppose your office is in your home.
With a nice big swastika on it.
Always
thanks.
Nice. Always nice to get a letter.
Yeah, sure is.
Jesus.
Here at radio station JWFK.
Takes all kinds.
There you go. Now I bet you're ready for this.
Choice.
Sometimes I think my people are so laid back that nothing matters.
Not today.
Not today.
Too much of a double punch right there?
Not today.
Wow.
Well, maybe we'll just hear a little of another one.
Okay.
How about See My Skin?
Okay. Very good.
Question mark?
Choice.
It's very amusing, really. People see my dark skin, they think I'm black.
All right. Okay.
Not today. Another day. Another day to hear these great PSAs. About my accent.
All right.
My accent. What about my accent? Don't say what about.
Choice.
I'm very Hispanic and speaking broken English, but I can speak...
Okay.
Very good.
Those are great PSAs, and we'll hear them
That's good.
In their entirety someday next week.
That's good. From the Mennonites.
With Dr. Giggles isn't here.
Mm-hmm.
Someday when my wife is back and she's busting my balls and there's not so much funny stuff happening,
right?
Like Rush Limbaugh on everything else.
So such a full plate.
It's too much. It's too much.
It's too over.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hey, no peeking, you. No peeking. Put it down. Stop it. Robin's our fun for later. Hello. What am I doing here? Did I pick this one up or this one?
I heard breathing on the other line.
Hello, Don and Mike.
How are you?
Come on.
Hello, you're on the air. Howdy.
Well, I was just shocked I was going to be on the air.
Well, now, listen, hold on. Let's break it down.
Mm-hmm.
You called the number. We answered the phone and you're shocked.
Yep. Because usually when I call, it's always busy.
Oh, so you're a repeat caller.
All right, well, now here you are, repeat caller. And what can we do for you?
Well, I just want to say two things.
Yeah.
Go Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, hey there.
And go Red Sox.
Boy, I was saying, what's in the background? Is that a television that's on there?
Yeah, it's the Snow White and the Seven Doors.
You got the kids watching the show?
Yep.
All right.
How long have you owned snakes?
I hate snakes.
Hate snakes.
Oh, and there you go, Mike. Just like for the Red Sox, the curse is broken.
See, he called and he broke a stereotype.
Yeah.
He did. Okay, thank you.
You have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too.
You have a good day.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I want to say that by beating the Yankees in the first game, and now the series is even because the Yankees won last night, by beating them in the first game, all of my Yankee fan friends have gone into that next nasty Yankee level now.
Sure, as they
it
do.
Was fine. It was sportsmanship right up until the time when the Red Sox won the first game. And last night...
Haven't they heard about your hamster?
Last night? No. The hamster died this morning, Don, after the defeat. But the Yankee fans have moved into a different, cruel, hateful space. And it's kind of... I just have to try to ignore that because it's making me more stressed out than I need to be about this.
Is there any chance that a Yankee fan killed your hamster?
Yeah, I would say. In fact, we could blame it on the Yankees.
Guys,
let's do it.
I want to mention that the public service announcements we were playing are courtesy of Mennonite Media. Mennonite Media.
Don't they oppose electricity?
And Buzz, do you know anything about the Mennonites?
Very little, no, really. No,
do you know anything at all beyond the fact that one of them is on the telephone?
No.
From Mennonite Media? In Harrisonburg, Virginia. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hold on. That is not the guy. Hello?
Hello?
There he is.
There he is.
Hey. Hi, guys.
How long have you been a Mennonite, sir?
I haven't. Hey, guess what? I told you yesterday. I told you when I hung up the phone yesterday.
Yes, Tom.
I told you I was going fishing today.
Oh, I believe you did tell us you were going fishing.
What did you catch?
I caught a goddamn snapping turtle.
Wow.
Tom, that is
what the heck?
That is
that's what I say.
That is gonna taste great. Some great turtle soup.
We had to throw that turtle back.
So it bit on your line.
It was on the line. It was on the fishing line.
Huh.
Wow, great fishing, Tom.
It was up at
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Did you complete after you caught the fish?
No.
Nothing came out?
Nope.
Did you catch any other fish?
I caught some sunfish.
Mm-hmm.
Little sunfish.
Sunfish. So you had a good day fishing?
Yep.
Did you hear about Mike's hamster?
Mike's hamster passed away.
Yes. Yeah, Mike's very upset about that.
Hey, Charlie?
Charlie's not here, Tom.
Oh, Charlie's not?
No.
He's not.
No. Charlie's mourning the hamster, too.
Charlie's mourning the hamster?
Yes. Yeah, the hamster.
How do you spell hamster, Tom?
H-A-M-P-P-E-Y.
Got it. All right, Tom. We got to go. Tom, take us to break right now.
Hey, WGFK, take Don and Mike to break.
Yeah, but Tom, we're on the network now, and we're team players, so just say the Don and Mike show. Go ahead. Go, Tom.
Team players, take it to break to Don and Mike.
No, Tom, now do it right.
Get a running start, Tom.
Say what we would say, we'll be right back on the Don and Mike show.
Right back.
No, but start again at the beginning. Do it on your own.
Hey, Tom, how do you feel about Rush Limbaugh?
He sucks.
All right, go ahead, Tom. Let's hear you take us into the break.
All right. Don and Mike, taking a break, and we're on National Syndicated.
Try one more time.
That was pretty good. Then just say, this is Tom Gavin. Bye then, and hang up.
This is Tom Gavin.
No, he has to stay on the line, doesn't he?
Yeah. This is Tom Gavin. We're taking Don and Mike to break.
That's just for the local station.
Right.
I like it when he stays on the line.
I get in big trouble when we leave the phone up. When we go to the traffic, it's nuts when we leave Tom on to comment while the lady is.
For those of you here in Washington, D.C., stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's Tom talking to the traffic lady. All right, Tom, go ahead. Take us to break.
All right, National Syndicated, take Don and Mike to break, and WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
Oh, it's the traffic.
Stacked all around town. It's Beltway getting to Silver Spur, rather than Springfield. Beltway getting to Wilson Bridge. Out to the west on 66. South on 395 and 95.
Yeah.
Traffic is brought to you by Blockbuster. At Blockbuster, your favorite movies guaranteed to be there or they're free, like The Italian Job starring Mark Wahlberg.
Hey,
rent it, make it a Blockbuster night. Details at participating stores. Vera Buffley, Donna Mike Show, WJFK.
Hi, guys.
Hello? Hello?
Excuse me. I'd like to say I'm really glad and proud to be here tonight. True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show, ready to double-team your girlfriend, and it stops
right there. And it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind. Let's raise our glasses, whatever we got in front of us. Salute. Health and happiness. Cheers, everybody. I love you so much, Frankie.
I love you. I'm not a talker. I love you. Congratulations.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What a hoot, and so totally refreshing.
Doing an adequate job, Don and Mike.
Yeah, we try. Let's see. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Howdy, you're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, Don, I'm worried about Mike, man.
Why? Now speak to me, sir. I'm here. Don't do that to me. Now, if you're worried about me, talk to me.
Okay, well, I'm concerned you might be going gay.
Now, why? Why do you think I'm going gay?
Well, because, all right.
Not, incidentally, I want to say not that there's anything wrong with that.
That's right. Well, if that's what you choose. But
well, now, what, did you laugh at that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it would be great if you were gay on
the
show.
If I flipped, but you know, last year when I paid the bet off, you know that's not going
to
happen.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on. We get back to this issue. Rob, we have the Tom thing?
Yeah, I think you can actually trip it on the board.
I just want to play you one thing.
I could pretend. Yeah, then we'd sound like another show.
Yeah, Ron and Fez got that all worked out. And which one of them pretends to be the fag?
I'm not sure. I think they're both sensitive guys.
I listen on one night, and I think it's one guy, and the other night, I think it's the other guy.
It's hard to keep track.
I know that one of them has, like, a DJ voice, and the other one has a lisp. But the thing is, it's one of those subtle things.
Yeah.
The lisp.
Now, you cut that guy off right when he was going to tell me why he thinks I'm going gay. I don't know why you did that. Is he gone?
No, he's there. I wanted to do the Tom thing first out of the break.
All right, okay. Are you going to come back to him? Because it's weighing heavily on my mind.
I have to mention that Westwood One has given us a trip to the premiere of Matrix Revolutions in Los Angeles for you to win. It's a national contest. First one that our syndicating company, Westwood One, has ever given us to give away. Call 888-635-0643. Register as often as you like. We'll have the winner next week on the show. It's a contest just for the Don and Mike Show to win the trip to the premiere of Matrix Revolutions in Los Angeles.
Very good.
What?
No, I'm just waiting. That's weighing heavily on my mind.
Or go to WJFK.com.
Uh-huh.
That's all. Okay, then I've got the Tom replay and I've got the Jackson Brown thing, but we'll go back to your guy.
I mean, I'm sure it's nothing.
I'm sure it is, too. Hello, Jared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just think I'm concerned because, like, Don, you've been trying to help him out. You know, you guys are like, well, we'll screen some women for you, you know, this and that. And Mike's just turning it down. I understand he's depressed because of his divorce and all. But, man, dude, it's been a while. You know?
Well, don't forget the hamster factor.
Yeah, and the snake thing, too.
Now what, you think, you mean the fact that I might want a snake?
Well, yeah. You know, I think subconsciously you might, you know, want to dig into that a little bit.
That's symbolic.
You think snake equals phallic equals...
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe.
Funny you should think that. You know what? You're listening to what you had to say. I'm just not prepared to debate you.
All right. Thank you. Call us back. When
I think he's spot on.
Debating you.
I think he's absolutely crystallized it.
We did this thing that we do sometimes with Tom, and they get mad here at WJFK, our flagship station, when we do this.
Right.
But it's great. If we have Tom take us to a break, I leave Tom's telephone on while the traffic lady, mm-hmm. while Beverly, excuse me, Vera.
Because
her...
Vera abruptly.
Yeah, her real name is Beverly. While she does the traffic, we make it very tough for her because Tom's on the telephone at the same time.
Right.
And this is something that could never translate on a network show because we break away for local commercials and traffic. So here now is what the people in Washington heard on WJFK when we went to commercial break a couple of seconds ago.
I'm syndicated. Take Don and Mike to break and WJFK.
And then...
The Don and Mike Show.
Don't go
around. WJFK.
Wow, it's the traffic.
Jack all around town. It's Beltway getting to Silver Spur, rather than Springfield. Beltway getting to Wilson Bridge. Out to the west on 66. South on 395 and 95.
Yeah.
Saturday's brought to you by Blockbuster. At Blockbuster, your favorite movies guaranteed to be there or they're free, like The Italian Job starring Mark Wahlberg.
Hey,
rent
Jim.
It, make it a Blockbuster night. Sales at participating stores. Beer abruptly, Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Hi, guys.
Hello?
Infinity Broadcast, WJFK-FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
Then he hung up. And he's gone.
How great is that?
Like the wind.
And for that, they like to call me in the office on Monday. They go, oh, you can't do that.
It's just the traffic report.
Well, the thing is because they've instructed me not to have Tom talk while she's reading the commercial.
Ah, the commercial for the traffic report.
The commercial, which I think just enhances the entire process.
And I think it puts a spotlight on the advertising.
Showcases it. Sure does, but that's something that's only done here locally, so there you go.
We love it.
We're sharing that with everybody.
That's nice.
Do you have the thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Yesterday is Jackson Brown's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, BFD. Me agreed. 55, Jackson Brown, older than you, Buzz.
How about that?
And you're getting it done.
Look at that.
And what's he doing?
Where is he now?
What's he doing?
Well, I mean, let's say everybody is somebody's baby.
Well, when I was going through my...
Yeah.
Oh, boy, if we're going to play the Jackson Brown game...
He's running on empty.
I'm running on empty. Yeah, right. Yeah,
you're doing.
I'm going through these tapes because I'm realizing that, not this year, but I think next year, you and I will have... unless we have a horrible J-Lo breakup in the next 18 months.
Right.
Or 16, whatever it is. Assuming. We're going to have 20 years of working together.
You going to do anything for that?
Well, I'm going through, and I do have tapes. And I'm trying to find the tapes of us from when we first started doing the show that later became the show that we're doing now. And when I was going past that, I got some way old tapes. And I've got a box that says BM on it. And all of those tapes are before Mike.
Right.
And then I've got a tape that says WM, and those tapes are with Mike.
Okay.
So I was going through, and I'm having to put these cassettes in and listen and say, okay, is this embarrassing enough for us to play on our 20th anniversary or whatever. I found a tape, and it just stinks. It stinks on ice. It's awful. But I want to play it for you to make a point that corporate radio has become so cookie cutter, head up their butt, wouldn't know anything creative. If it came down, I swear to God, and knocked them in the freaking head.
Right.
I was telling Mike the other day, we complain a lot about our job.
Right.
But compared to what some disc jockeys have to go through.
Oh, and compared to what we've gone through in the past.
Yeah, but even...
To come in here and have the freedom to do this show that we do is terrific.
Amazing. And we know some guys that are going through some stuff, and it's awful, really, because there's nothing that fosters any kind of climate of try something new, get on the radio, say something crazy. I mean, obviously not, you know, like Rush Limbaugh crazy, but just say nutty stuff. Have a good time. Throw stuff up and hit it. See what sticks against the wall. So back in late 1979, early 1980, we've made fun of this guy for a long time, Scott Shannon.
Right.
Shannon in the morning. This guy was the program director of WPGC, the station I worked at.
Mm-hmm.
And the greatest thing that this guy ever did for me in my career, and I worked for a lot of great guys and have stolen from a lot of them and learned from a lot of them, the greatest thing that he ever told me,
Shannon in the morning,
and he was the program director, he would really just say, I don't care what you do.
Right.
Just,
hello, this is Scott Shannon.
say, just get out and do something.
That's amazing.
I want you to do something every break. I want you to talk every second. I don't want you to worry if it's funny. I want you to take live phone calls.
Right.
Was the best. So here's an example of that, which didn't go well with him. I mean, it didn't go well with him. What I mean is it didn't translate on the air. It sucked radio.
Right.
What it is one night I'm doing the 6 to 10 shift, 6 to 10 at night. He'll come into the studio.
On WPGC, right?
Yeah, this is back in 1980, 23 years ago. He would come in and say, hey, boy, let's do a bit. And I'd go, okay. He'd say, well, you got a Jackson Browne record coming up? And I, this night, as it turns out, I said, yes, I do. I'll call you. I said, okay. So I'm sitting on my side of the...
Are you looking at him when he calls you?
Yes, and he's in the newsroom like I'm looking at Buzz.
Right.
And I go to pick up the phone, and it's Scott Shannon. Now, I have to be honest, he may have been wasted during this phone call.
Okay.
I may have been wasted during doing this shift.
Much of the audience may have been.
Wow,
wasted.
This is quite a setup.
But, no, really, and you're going to hear it's awful and it goes nowhere, but I just want to just... You know, we had that segment yesterday with those people from Fresno with the radio thing with the, am I going to get fired if I say that Arnold Schwarzenegger is in it?
Right.
There has to be a climate in radio where guys are encouraged, and I guess girls, if you want to have a radio like that with girls on it, I think guys are best on the radio, but that's just me. I'm kidding about that. Most guys are good. Some girls are good on the radio. Scott Shannon is a guy who likes girls.
And I think you've got to rephrase that. Most guys are good. But most guys are
but
okay.
But still even... But see, here's where I get...
I know what you're saying. I know what you're trying to say.
No, what I'm saying is even though most... Even your worst man disc jockey is still better...
Your worst man disc jockey better than your best woman disc jockey?
Pretty bad ones.
It's close.
How about most good radio comes from men?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of digging myself in a hole here. Thanks, Rob.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying about women in radio.
When I first started, I said there's no, radio is an all male, thing. That was a joke.
Right.
But really... I've not come across very many women in this business who I would think, wow, she's really good.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Leave it at that. That's good. You know what? You nailed it. Yeah, that's perfect.
But there, I come across many more guys who I also turn on the radio and go, oh,
right.
What the frick is that idiot doing on the radio?
Well, there are many more guys in the business. Yeah. That's just the nature of the business.
But either way, if they had a chance to do a piece of radio as crappy as this on a major market station 23 years ago, maybe they'd be standing here today lecturing everybody as if they really had a clue.
I can't wait to hear this.
And I've run across a lot of women in radio. I've really run across them, and yeah. Here we go.
Nearly famous Don Geronimo from the late 60s, and we all thought grass was something we had to mow, and pot was something we put plants in.
It's a cool part.
We say, hello, Don.
Yeah?
This is your old friend, the Jackson Brown.
So now this is my program director, who I'm playing the other record, and he comes in and he says, let's do a bit.
Uh-huh. Right.
I go, okay, what's the bit? He says, don't worry about it, boy.
Okay.
Let it fly. So here it is.
Right, okay. 709, nearly famous Don Geronimo from the late 60s, and we all thought grass was something we had to mow, and pot was something we put plants in.
It's a cool part.
We say, hello, Don.
Yeah?
This is your old friend, the Jackson Brown, calling you from out here at the Meriwether Post.
Something tells me this isn't Jackson Brown.
Yes, it is. Listen, run in on the empty. Listen, we've got a big, really large crowd out here tonight, and they want to see me on time, so go ahead and play that boogie test without Jackson tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Jackson, it's been real nice talking to you. Can you sing part of your new song for me, Jackson?
I got to go rehearsal. Have a happy day.
Jackson, sing a little
bit. Come on.
Sing a little bit of that new one, Jackson.
I got to go.
Go. If this is really Jackson Brown, sing a little bit of your new song for me.
Okay, ma'am, I'll be right there.
No, sing it now on the telephone.
Mr. Niederlander is calling me, Don.
Sing it.
I'll be right back. Oh, the fans are pulling me away.
It's called
I don't think that was Jackson Brown, really. I don't know about you, but I'm a rough guy to fool.
More music. WPGC.
I like it because of the background that it was Shannon. That makes me laugh that he was in there and he had no idea where to go with the bit.
No, and
it was, that
and,
was what made it funny to me.
And he's my boss,
right.
The program director that's saying to me, do whatever you want.
So. And he didn't want to sing, did he? Not at all. Oh, that was great.
And I didn't know where he's going with it.
Right? He didn't either.
Hello, Don. This is the Jackson Brown. Anyway, that's what we should be doing in radio. And, okay.
Well, here's what the deal is. Regardless of whether it was funny or not, it was obvious that you guys were having fun doing it.
Right.
That is what it's about. And you know what? When I hear people laughing, even if I don't get the joke, you ever go into a party and you see two people that are cracking up?
Nope. Yeah.
I laugh at people that are having fun and cracking up. That can be funny, you know?
And if there was more of that attitude, perhaps you'd have more overnight lady DJs.
Right.
Which I've already established is the shift for them. Overnight.
You're killing me.
Now, we have stories from our affiliates who effed up when we replayed the Tom Gavin thing.
Well, they weren't paying attention.
Now, I think we didn't. When we came on, didn't we say we're going to replay something that
our
happened?
New stager that was, I believe, selected by Rob Spiewak, which is fantastic, is a very powerful piece of music. And I think they hear that, and they automatically go to break.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to Rich. Rich, what station do you listen on?
Yeah, I'm in Northern California, and it was both KHTK and KYC Wave. KYCY, they both went to like a PSA.
So both Sacramento and San Francisco. Maybe the network did it.
The network might have done it.
Maybe the network did it. If
so our apologies. We're sorry about that.
PSA. Yeah. We were just trying to play something that you wouldn't be able to hear normally.
Trying to give you a little Tom Gavin that you wouldn't get normally on the network.
Hello.
Trying to share.
Alan, Kansas, KFHFM. Alan. Hey, Alan.
Alan, pay attention.
No, all right. Let's try this.
It's nice when you hear the traffic going.
Alan?
Right.
Yes, I'm here.
Are you the guy from Wichita?
Yes, I am.
Did they F it up too?
Yeah, as soon as he started to play it again, it said that we're going to break and you're going to have Tom on, they went to break. Then they put it back at the very end of it where Tom, you could hang up. So we missed the whole interchange of the traffic lady.
Sounds like network, if this many stations
all right,
did
let's
it.
Let's replay it one more time before we do go to break.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Thanks.
Okay.
This is not a break.
We are not taking a commercial break, stations.
Do not
network,
go away.
Board ops.
But hold on a second there. Constant contest. You are actually very helpful, a good caller.
Yeah.
So here you go. You've won the Halloween costume of your choice, courtesy of Masters Costumes. Don't worry that they're in the D.C. area. They ship it to you. MastersCostumes.com. Masters Costumes, a real costume shop. Hold on just a second.
All right. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you for listening.
Now,
stations, attention stations, we are not going to, we will go to break after we play this, but we are not going to break now.
We are going to hit the music that normally takes us to break, but we are not doing that. Why do we have to do that? Are they listening or what?
This is so people can hear what Tom Gavin did during the traffic.
We're not taking a commercial break.
Our last commercial break, which was 20 minutes ago, so we got to take another one, but we're not taking it right now. This is a replay.
Stacked all around town. Beltway getting to Silver Spur, rather to Springfield. Beltway getting to Wilson Bridge, out to west on 66.
Back it up all the way so we can hear the stage.
Oh, no, that'll screw them up again.
Yeah.
We're not taking a break, idiots.
No, okay, we're not taking a break.
I think we've said it enough times.
No, he has to stay on the line, doesn't he?
Yeah. This is Tom Gavin. We're taking Dynamike to break.
No, we're
That's
not.
Just for the local station.
Right. I like it when he stays on the line.
I get in big trouble when we leave the phone up. When we go to the traffic, it's nuts when we leave Tom on to comment while the lady is.
For those of you here in Washington, D.C., stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's Tom talking to the traffic lady. All right, Tom, go ahead. Take us to break.
All right, the National Syndicated, take Don and Mike to break, and WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it's the traffic.
Stacked all around town. It's Beltway getting to Silver Spur, to Springfield. Beltway getting to Wilson Bridge, out to the west on 66. South on 395 and 95. Brought to you by Blockbuster. At Blockbuster, your favorite movies guaranteed to be there or they're free, like The Italian Job, starring Mark Wahlberg. Rent it, make it a Blockbuster night. Sales at participating stores. Beer abruptly down to Mike Schill, WJFK.
Hi, guys.
Hello?
Go on.
Infinity Broadcast.
WJFM. Well, that was it. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, now you heard it this time.
And now, yeah. We're really going to break.
This wow. is the Don and Mike Show.
This is kind of a strange audience. Have you noticed that? How strange is it? Well, before the show tonight, a sweet elderly lady came up to me and says, you know, I'd like to capture you on canvas. And I said, you mean to like to paint my portrait? And she says, no, I've got an army cot in my Winnebago.
Master haters, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right. Let's see.
Beautiful woman joining us later in the show as always to discuss football. Yeah. She's wonderful. She's hot. When is FHM or when is Maxim going to do a spread on Nancy?
Oh, man, the women of CBS.
She looks like that.
She's good on the radio.
That's coming up. Yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
And she's good on television, too. But first, let's get you a Friday Paisley. Now we got a hot one today. What was that? Hold on. Was that you, Buzz?
Yes, it was.
What was that?
I was sort of coughing and clearing my throat at the same time and forgot to turn down my microphone.
Well, let's bring him in. I hope he's not offended by that.
And now, Jay!
Hold it. Let's just say, how are you? Let me shake your hands. How you doing, Kev?
High five.
What are you, high-fiving everybody here?
I've never quite been introduced with a sneeze before.
That was fascinating. Thank you, Buzz.
Sorry.
I like that.
Sorry.
Well, what incredible times we live in. Isn't this very exciting? I mean, you know, I'm really excited about the thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I am very pleased to be here on your show. Why are you checking your watch? I know. You're talking about the fact that after I introduced Arnold, I turned around and I was checking my watch. I was very busy. I had to go home and write jokes. That's what I was there to do. Ladies and gentlemen, the next governor of the state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, now you...
No, that wasn't a big deal. Give me a break here. It doesn't matter what that money.
You are just a shill for
that. I am not a shill. I am doing a... You know, the truth is, you announce your candidacy on the Jay Leno show, and you're going to be a superstar. That's the way it works. You know, you understand that, right?
How do you feel about Arnold's relationship with Hitler?
Arnold's relationship with Hitler. I look the other way. You know, he's a big star. He's a friend. I'm not endorsing him politically. What I'm doing is I'm just trying to endorse him as a friend. That's a PR spin that we have on this.
Here's the thing, Jay.
And it's great for my ratings.
When you had him on your show originally, okay, that was like when Arsenio had Bill Clinton on. But then when he's got his speech, his big I've won speech.
Yes. He asked me as a personal friend. He said, why don't you come out and, do the endorsement. Come out and do the endorsement. You know, go to the political rally, speak to my people, and, endorse me. And I'm like, I'll do that. It doesn't matter that much. It's all right. What's the big deal?
Do you understand the entire recall process?
Well, I understand how it works, basically. I mean, Gray Davis, not a popular governor, and they decided to recall him. And then Arnold said, I'm going to make my big announcement on your show. It's going to be big news. And I said, come on, Arnold.
What if, here's just a what if for you.
Yes.
What if, you know, because there are these reports that Arnold once said Hitler was a good guy. What if somehow...
Can I tell you the truth, really, and just between you and me and the lamppost here, and I don't want to do the unfair thing again. Okay. I just want to tell you really honestly that I got Doritos money to intro him.
Wow.
Seriously, a big... The Arnold Schwarzenegger campaign war chest was very significant, and they spiffed me.
Oh. How would you feel...
They spiffed me a few dollars.
And you got...
Okay, so big deal.
So you got Doritos money. You got
Doritos money.
I mean, you got some
serious cash, and I'm not talking about only ranch style either. It was serious money.
But, Jay, you in a roundabout way had something to do with Arnold Schwarzenegger, being elected governor.
Yes, what of if, course, he announced on my show, and I think all the presidential candidates should probably take heed and remind themselves, if they go on Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and they make that big announcement, that they'll be, they'll be famous.
What happens, God forbid, 3 or 4, 5 years, 2 months from now, California is turned into some type of dictatorial state, with like 1942
Germany. I just wanted to say that crowd really butted up this lantern-jawed comic. There's no doubt about it. Arnold looked at me with those big Austrian eyes and said, listen, can you help me with this thick accent? And I relate to people that have difficulty communicating English language.
How do you
understand that? That's something we have a common bond. We discussed our speech impediments and the fact that we have difficulty communicating with our TV audience. And he said, would you help me? And I said, you're a friend. You've come to me personally. I will not endorse you politically because Mavis was fit to be tied.
Mm.
She was bleaching her mustache late at night, and she said to me, how dare you endorse a Republican since I'm such a Democrat Party activist? And I said, just leave me alone. Let me go play with my cars.
Now, what happens?
Come on.
What happens if Arnold Schwarzenegger gets in there, and it's not the Third Reich, but he does something just really dumb.
I have a prediction for Arnold.
And then
as soon as he takes office, he will build great roads.
Then you are lumped in there with him.
No, not at all.
You know, what they say is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who brought the entire state of California
I'm
down.
I'm not aware that you are aware of the fact of the matter that Jay Leno is the Teflon TV host.
Jay?
Things bounce off me. I'm not going to be associated with the Schwarzenegger campaign. I did it as a friend. You're saying it's bad judgment? That's okay. I think the bad judgment was to check my watch when Arnold was making his acceptance speech.
Jay?
yes, Don?
Have you made love to him?
Technically, I haven't made love to him. I think if you were going to break it down technically, the operative situation would be that he made love to me. Not necessarily the first time, willingly, on my part.
Oh. Is that how you got...
I was kind of Kobe'd.
Is that how you got the Hugh Grant interview as well?
Well, the fact is, well, that worked the other way.
Oh.
Because he was very needy at the time, and I went into his dressing room, and you know, I said, and not his dressing room, Tonight Show. This was prior to him coming on the show. And I said to him, I said, Hugh, I really need you to do the show. The whole thing with the hooker, please come on my show. He said, well, I'm really feeling like I need to relax and maybe not do TV. I said, I'll make you relax. And I made him relax.
Wow.
That's how I get guests.
Didn't know that.
Over Letterman. People say, why do I have the great ratings? The fact is that the Tonight Show has fabulous ratings. We are doubling, almost tripling the ratings for David Letterman. The fact remains that I get my guests any means possible, and I will travel to their homes.
So Letterman doesn't put out sexually for his guests.
This is absolutely true. David is very repressed sexually and unfortunately does not understand that it's kill or be killed, that you have to go the extra mile, that you have to follow orders. That's the way it works normally.
Right,
that's
let me just look right here in the listings and you tell
I'll
me.
I'll give you details about how I've gotten every guest. And some of them come on just because the show's very popular and they want to be on the show.
Late night with David Letterman. With David Letterman. Tonight?
Yeah.
John Mayer, that's a singer I know that Mike likes.
John Mayer, very talented artist. He would come on my show anyway because the fact is he needs exposure
now,
for his records.
Now, Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Yes.
Cyclist Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong was in a very high demand after his recent Tour de France victory.
Did you have to?
Yes. Manually.
Now, he's only...
He's only got one. That's right. And that's why it requires a little something extra that Jay pulled out of his sock for that one. And I'll tell you something. He was grateful. He could have won 3 Tour de France's after I got done with him.
Oh.
And he said, I'd be glad to do your show exclusively. I said, thank you, Lance. I'm good with the hands.
So
I have healing hands. You know, Jay Leno's healing hands.
We've been wondering.
There they are.
We've wondered for the longest time how it is that your show stinks, yet you manage to pull in great ratings.
I've actually let Paul Poundstone break in over 16 strap-ons.
Wow.
Really? He breaks them in on me. Now, I'm a willing recipient, or receptacle.
You mentioned your wife, Mavis, that...
You know, let's not talk about her. Oh, come on.
Isn't it really a beard, not a mustache?
It's a full beard, actually. Are you familiar with the show on HBO, Carnival, and the bearded lady?
Yeah.
Mavis was up for that role. She could have played it naturally. But she bleaches, shaves, waxes, uses all the anti-hair products. That's the way it works with Mavis. Very, very good. It's always exciting.
Now she's very Italian.
She's very Italian, and normally if we go through a long weekend where she hasn't brought the proper amount of cosmetics, Mavis will start to resemble an Ewok. Very frustrating for me.
You married her many years ago.
She looks like Sam Elliott if you catch her on a Saturday morning.
You've never had children with her.
No. Unfortunately, I do not want to bring those hairy little things into the world.
She is a very out front, as you said, a Democrat.
She's very active in party politics in the Democratic Party. I am very active in promoting the Tonight Show. And I thought I would jaywalk right over to Schwarzenegger campaign headquarters and say, ladies and gentlemen, the next governor of the state of California, or California, as he likes to say. I said, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then it was like, get me the F out of here.
What do you think about Letterman having a baby?
I don't think he did. I don't think he's got anything down there. I think I'm much better endowed, frankly. And I'm much more gifted because of the fact that I service my guests sexually. That is why I get the guests he doesn't. He is repressed. and that which is used develops. That which is unused wastes away. Mm-hmm. That's why I think David left
even functional. He didn't have a kid.
Let me just
the publicity stunt to try to compete with me.
Let me just think
in the ratings.
I have a list here of celebrities you've had on your show.
Celebrities I've had on my show. Leave something extra in your envelope.
The last couple of weeks. Oh look, you've had famous.
When Dave tries, nothing comes out.
Famous movie star Jack Black.
Jack Black wanted to come on my show. There was no need for any activity. That's one that but he came on his own volition.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Right.
Really?
If you say so.
If you say so. Now we hear from Buzz Burbank, the Letterman fan, over on the other side of the glass.
Sorry.
We're aware of that.
All right. What about...
I could give you a list. I know them off the top of my head, the recent ones.
All right. Go ahead.
Are we fan? Alicia Silverstone. She liked to draw.
Well, see, now that...
She liked
that
jaw with me, if you know what I mean.
That's a
she liked the J-jaw.
That's a perk. You get the J-jaw.
She calls me, as a matter of fact. She says, how about the J-jaw tonight? And I said, oh, it is ready and willing. Mm. I am ready for a little TMJ for you.
See, but there's nothing, you know... Okay, you're married, and
right?
we'll go through... That's for you and God to work out.
Don't get me started on Martin Sheen, who does my show exclusively. Mm. Martin Sheen has...
That's...
Mm-hmm.
That's
let me just tell you that Martin Sheen comes on my show because he gets a three-finger discount. All right?
What a yes, draw three. The line.
And when I say, Mr. Sheen, star of the West Wing, it's time for your exam, he runs right over and does the show.
Can I tell
that's
you?
My secret to getting all of my guests. It's wonderful.
I didn't mention this when I was discussing one of the joys of solitude.
Yes, solitude. I enjoy my... I like to work with my cars. They don't talk back.
Right.
My wife is...
That's a nice, peaceful purr of an engine. Right?
I was watching one of the porno channels.
Ah, the porno channels.
And
I enjoy gay porn.
It was the amateur...
I like all porn, really.
It was the amateur one.
Uh-huh.
But the guy had his girlfriend there. And... I found it impossible to stay in the proper frame of mind because what he was doing was showing one finger, two finger, three fingers, four fingers.
Oh, that's always interesting.
and then the hand disappeared.
Ah, so it's that didn't do it for you.
No.
Oh, that would work with me.
It was like an amateur video.
I was watching one just the other day. Big black butts. It was wonderful. I'll tell you, there's so much creativity out there. I wish we could have an amateur porn segment on the Tonight Show.
Have you ever had to...
You might get Ed Hall to do that.
All right, listen, we have to break. Who is the celebrity you had to force yourself on to have sex with you so that they would appear on your show?
Well, normally it is a cooperative effort, but if you had to pin me down on celebrities that like it rough,
yeah.
I could give you some minor detail.
Go ahead.
Gallagher. Gallagher enjoys it rough. All of the these wacky prop comics.
How about Carrot Top?
Carrot Top also.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they play coy with me. For example, last time Carrot Top was on the show, I walked into the dressing room and he was hiding in the corner looking at me coyly.
Hmm.
And of course I took him.
Yeah. He used props.
In the corner.
You did, okay.
Yes.
We're going to play Jeopardy here with...
I collect deviant porn. I trade it with Kev. Always a lot of big fun on the Tonight Show.
Good friend of ours.
Next governor of the state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let me check my watch, go back and write my jokes.
Need a challenge? Your phone number is 877-365-3636.
David Letterman is impotent.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Reminds me of my old girlfriend back in Nebraska. Gina Statutory. Name of Gina Statutory, and she went to Lincoln High, and she was voted Miss Lincoln because every guy in school took a shot at her in the balcony.
They love to get festive. Don and Mike.
We actually would have played a tape of you, but we don't have any tapes.
No, I understand
you.
What you're doing. You're trying to do it. You're trying to work me, is what you're doing. Playing the Johnny. You know how I feel about Johnny, and that's what you're doing. And that's how you torture me, and I can expect that from Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara on the Don and Mike Show.
I noticed now, we're going to get to the game here, but I noticed that you were on the telephone during the break, and it appeared that you were in conversation with someone who you had some kind of sexual past with.
You know, I don't appreciate you eavesdropping on all of my Jay Leno phone conversations. I don't understand. It was Rob Lowe.
It was Rob.
Oh, no, wow. He was at the Arnold Schwarzenegger headquarters also.
Standing right behind you when you checked your watch.
I have a special relationship with Rob Lowe. He and I are very intimate and very close. I am the catcher only with Rob Lowe. He's a skinny man.
I know he is.
Don't have to worry about him.
Jay, let's play Low Budget Jeopardy. Here we go.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is a challenger. This individual is from Pasadena, Maryland. A federal employee. Let's say hi to Rebecca Baranovich.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
Hi there.
And now entering the studio is our returning Low Budget Jeopardy champion. This individual has $53. He's a debt collector from Owings Mills, Maryland. Let's say hi to Mark Epstein.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Jay. Hey, OQ.
Mark Epstein, did we find out last time that you're one of those guys that calls people and hassles them at home?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Then you don't get to answer the question, how has this changed your life?
That's right. We're not going to give you a comedy opportunity.
Guys, here are your categories.
All right.
And your categories are, Buzz is 50.
Congratulations, Buzz. Thank you. I'm very proud of you at your 50th birthday.
Thank you, Jay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jay.
All right. Watch my show. It's got bright colors.
Okay.
Arnold is governor.
Hello.
All About America.
I'm a very patriotic American.
NFL Weekend Favorites.
Oh, that's all right.
And new on a DVD home video. Oh, hold on. Just a second. This may be my wife. Hello? He's here. We're on the radio right
Who's
now.
Who's calling for Jay Leno?
Okay, thanks. Hold on, please.
Somebody. Who is it?
He just identified himself as A.S.
American. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Hold on a second.
America.
Hello? Hello, Governor.
Oh.
How are you? Yes, it's good to hear from you. No, it's great. I'm doing the Donna Mike show. Oh, I had no idea. In Sacramento? They said... Oh, they said you're... When? That you're an idiot? That you're a more... Oh, what? Oh, I'm... Arnold, I had no idea. I wouldn't have done this show. I'm sorry, Arnold. I really...
See, Arnold must be telling him what we've said about him.
Arnold, I would not have come on the show if I'd known. I had no idea. Really, I love you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that. I swear to... Okay. Well, I've got to finish the commitment. I'm promoting the Tonight Show. I understand. I'll call you after this. Okay. All right, sweetheart. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Listen to that.
All right. Are we ready to proceed?
It's very Regis-y.
That was no one.
Your categories are Buzz is 50, Arnold is governor, America, NFL this weekend's favorites, and new on Divid.
Arnold Sven Schwarzenegger will be calling.
And,
ASS.
No, we just lost the guy.
Oh, no.
But, Mark Epstein has gone AWOL.
Get Mark back on the line. Rebecca, you're
Please
a girl.
Don't put those calls through. You're making me very uncomfortable.
So we'd start with you anyway. Go ahead, Rebecca.
New on Divid.
Hey, Rob, would you go ask Joe to get the guy back on the phone?
Here comes Joe Artinger. Yes,
hi,
three.
Joe.
Always prepared, Joe Artinger.
Here he is. Okay.
Shaggy.
New on Divid. Here you go. These are new on DVD or home video this weekend. Eisner pulled this one out of his ass and tossed it to us on DVD.
What is...
Hello, Rebecca. And do we have Mark back on the phone?
We're getting Mark back on the line.
I know the answer.
Oh, hold on.
I think I do, too.
There he
now.
Is.
Oh, no.
Mark.
Yes, I'm back.
Mark, Eisner pulled this out of his ass and tossed it to us on DVD.
Okay, where are we now?
Thank you for paying attention, Mark.
It was What is the Lion King?
And Rebecca, you are still in control.
New on Divid for two.
Stars Renee Zellweger.
I have no idea.
Well, come on, you're a girl.
Mark, your chance to steal
what
again.
Does that mean?
I'm not a girl, but what is down with love?
That's what I mean.
$2, that's what that means, Rebecca. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And then that's for you, sir. Go ahead again, please.
Go to DVD for three.
New on Divid. Stars Harrison Ford.
What is Hollywood Homicide?
There you go.
$3, and Mark has taken a champion's lead.
I can't redeem myself.
A champion's lead.
Can't redeem myself as a man. NFL for one.
NFL, who's the favorite this weekend? Philadelphia Eagles at Dallas Cowboys.
Who are the Dallas Cowboys?
Rebecca, your chance to seal.
Philadelphia Eagles?
That was not in the form of a question.
Oh, Rebecca, there was your giant softball and you whiffed.
And yeah, it's Eagles' favorite in that game.
Mark, you're in control.
The NFL for two.
Carolina Panthers at Indianapolis Colts.
Who are the Indianapolis Colts?
There you go.
$2. And Rebecca, are you speaking with someone?
No, I'm talking and writing on my paper.
I heard you distinctly speaking with someone, and that is prohibited in the rules of Low Budget Jeopardy.
I'm writing.
What are you writing?
All the answers.
All the answers. All right, go ahead. Go again.
All right, Mark, you're in control.
Go DVD, NFL for three.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers at Denver Broncos.
Who are the Denver Broncos?
Good. There you go. That's
$3, you've got a commanding 10-0 lead, Mark.
That's a run category. Go again, Mark.
Go with Buzz, all about Buzz for one.
Buzz is 50. Hey, this is Buzz's birthday.
What is October 9th?
Rebecca, your chance to seal.
What is October 8th?
How quickly they forget, Buzz.
Yes, I know.
October 7th.
A day that will live in infamy. All right, Mark, you're in control.
How about Buzz for two?
The year Buzz was born.
What is 19...
Sorry. Rebecca, your chance to steal.
Okay, wait a minute.
No, if you can't do that in your head, I'm sorry. No, it's 1953.
But you're doing a good job as a federal employee.
Because you add 50 to that and you get 2003.
Mark, you're in control.
Finished up Buzz for three.
Buzz's favorite color.
What is green?
Is that correct, Buzz?
That is incorrect.
Rebecca, your chance to steal.
What is blue?
That is correct.
Ah, there you go.
$3 for Rebecca. Point. She will go to the final round and you're in control, darling.
All About America for one.
All About America. This is the last category. No, we got Arnold still. All About America from Harper's Index. These are facts about America. In 2002, this United States city had the most peep shows within city limits.
What is Las Vegas?
No. Mark, your chance to steal.
What is New Orleans?
No. Let's hear it for Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
Tampa, Florida.
Home of the Peep Show. Fantastic. Way to go, Buccaneers.
Mons Venus.
All right, Rebecca, you're in control.
All About America for two.
In the year 2002, this United States state had the most roadside service turnpike highway areas. Meaning if you're on a turnpike or on a highway where it says rest area,
rest
20 miles ahead, this state has the most of those rest areas on their highway.
When you're driving, it's always important to take a rest.
What is California?
Oh, no.
Mark, your chance to steal.
What is Texas?
Negative. Florida.
Florida.
It's your I-95 corridor.
Lovely Florida. Seems to be a theme. All right, Rebecca, you're in control.
All About America for three.
In 2002, this Florida beach issued the most tickets for topless sunbathing.
What is Fort Lauderdale?
Mark, your chance to steal.
What is Panama City?
Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach, yes, and you can drive my fancy cars on that beach.
Last year, they wrote, incidentally, 37 tickets for topless sunbathing.
Oh. Rebecca, you're still in control. It's time to go to my favorite category.
Arnold for governor for one.
Arnold had this hack introduce him at his victory rally.
What is Jay Leno?
What do you mean, what is Jay Leno?
Exactly.
Who is Jay Leno? Come on. All right, $1 for you, Rebecca.
Let's go for Arnold for two.
City that Arnold Schwarzenegger will now actually have to live in.
Sacramento. What is Sacramento?
It's not in the form of a question.
Mark, your chance to steal.
What is Sacramento?
$2 for you. And who has the precocious youngster in the background?
That's my son.
Your son. Wonderful, Rebecca.
Arnold for three.
Arnold denied saying he liked this guy.
Go get the pad.
I think it's time for a little children's Tylenol. Rebecca, your chance to steal.
Can I hear the question again?
No.
No, I'm sorry. The answer, the always popular, Hitler.
Right. And now that's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Okay. Quiet, buddy.
You got to keep those kids quiet.
Keep the children quiet.
That's why God invented the closet.
He's getting ready for football.
All right, here's your category on Final Low Budget Jeopardy.
Just remember, protect the cranium.
Final Low Budget Jeopardy. We physically force you both to bet at all. Good luck. The category is Robert Palmer still dead. It's too bad. He was a friend of ours. We went out with him one night. We got drunk with him one night. The year Robert Palmer hit the charts with his tune, Addicted to Love. Robert Palmer hit the charts with Addicted to Love. Rebecca.
Yeah.
Mark, don't forget to answer in the form of a question, and good luck. Good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive lubricants and massage oils from the J-Team. You know, nothing makes an intimate encounter better than a hot, slippery lubricant. And now you can have those same lotions and oils that I use daily in the Lenolair. When you use my scented lubricant, you'll enjoy all the benefits of great skincare, erotic contact, and finally, most importantly, ease of penetration.
Oh.
Now back to final low-budget Jeopardy with my friend Don Geronimo.
We ain't friends like that.
Ease of penetration. Anal ease.
We want to go to first, dear Jeff.
How do you feel about anal? You want to go to Rebecca first. She's the low woman on the totem pole.
To where food comes out, Jay.
Anal.
Hey, Rebecca. It's the year that Robert Palmer hit the charge with Addicted to Love.
What is 1984?
No, that knocks you down to zero, Rebecca.
Negative. Sorry about that, Rebecca. Here you go. Mark, you can repeat as the big wiener if you have the right answer.
What is 1978?
Oh, fellas.
No, I'm
guys,
terribly
guys,
sorry.
Girls, no. Wow. 1986.
1986.
What are you doing, Jay?
I'm smelling my fingers.
Why?
It's a nervous habit. Sorry, Don Geronimo.
Type of game. Alan Line 1 will love. We're giving away no money at all. Rebecca and Mark, please don't go away, Matt. Just go away. Here now, Jay Leno, tell you what you want. Jay!
First of all, a message for you, Don Geronimo. Remember, anal. Always nice, always lovely. First of all, kids, you've won Halloween costume.
A-N-A-L.
Courtesy of Masters Costumes. There's 7 locations in the D.C. area. To find the nearest one, go to masterscostumes.com. Masters Costumes, a real costume shop. But wait,
there's more.
You want a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Aerosmith and Kiss, two rock legends, one stage, one night at the MCI Center on Thursday, November 20th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. at all Ticketmaster locations and online at Ticketmaster.com.
Thank you,
Mark and Rebecca. Thank you for playing the game.
Thank you.
Thank you, kids. Have a great weekend. Thanks. Bye. See you, losers. That's it. We got to go, Jay.
All right. Time for me to go, too.
What is it? You got a scratch back there?
Got something back there. Mm. I'll get it out. Don't worry.
Always remember, never forget, Jeopardy is a production of
Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World.
By King World. You're still smelling your fingers.
Always nice, always lovely. Anal. Bye, Don.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not the knee. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want. I was messing with my knee.
Let's just stop this tape for a second. Hi.
Hi.
There you go. you made it back.
Yeah.
You sneaky rat.
You're back.
That's the first thing. Charlie came running in as soon as we hit the bumper and said, we don't know where Buzz is. I stopped the tape, but there's Buzz.
Yeah, I'm right here.
He's here. So now back to the tape. Sorry about that.
Yeah, how you doing, baby?
How you doing,
all right,
baby?
Dale, you going to get a shot?
No
shots for me,
no.
Sir. Yeah, I can't stand
no, baby.
You. Hey, you're the master of the technology of this game.
See, how do you do that, man? Take all the pills and shots,
man. The terrible things in your body.
If you last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
not me, baby.
I got respect for my body.
You'll get over that.
You'll get past that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I must say, from where I sit, I am truly enjoying your colorful patois.
Bingo, baby. The Don and Mike Show.
Listen, when a trip to the premiere of Matrix Revolutions in Los Angeles, the Westwood One contest, open just for listeners at the Don and Mike Show. Enter as often as you like, call 888. That's 1-888-635-0643. Or go to WJFK.com and click on the icon there.
All right.
Also, if you go to WJFK.com, let me make sure that Nancy's here. Nancy?
Yes.
If you go to WJFK.com, you can also click on to the link for Jim Nance's charity, The Three Amigos.
Right.
And you can see pictures of us with Tom at the titty bar the other day. And there's a link for Mr. Skin. But right on the top of the Don and Mike part of the WJFK webpage is a giant picture of Jim Nance.
Mm-hmm.
And below it, it says What's the name? Is it Nancy Domtris? What is it? It's Nostradamus.
We finally got it.
You know, I mentioned that a few times on our show because Boomer at one point was 8-0, and I called him Asias Stradamus. And then I said to Dan the next week after he had gone like 4 or 5-0, I called Marino. I said you were like Marino Stradamus. Oh. And he said to me, pulled me aside, and says, "What's all this Stradamus stuff you keep talking about?" I said, "Come on, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?" He says, "No." I said, "Nostradamus?" He says, "What are you talking about?"
So
I guess they didn't have that course at Pitt.
Wow.
You know, and as I look at the numbers, I would not say they're Nostradamus numbers, but they are. you do seem to be coming on a little bit.
Well,
here.
Now, with
you know, thanks for that rip, Mike. but you know, Nostradamus also didn't have everything in the future.
In the dead picks, on. In the picks with us against Jim Nance for charity. As of now, total this year, Jim's in front. He has 10 games correct. Mike is in second with 9 games correct. And I'm in third with 8 games correct.
Well, what did we do last week?
Let's see. Last week, Jim, you and I were 2-3.
Ooh.
And Mike was 3-2.
Aye.
So we got kind of killed. Of course, this is Nancy, everybody. You know, you love her. She's on the CBS show. It's the NFL Today on CBS. Jim Nance. Nancy, and Nancy, I didn't have a chance to tell you this last week, and it was way ahead of the Rush Limbaugh thing, but I saw a real funny moment on your show that I hope you will comment on. It was, you guys were talking about backs in the NFL.
Oh, no.
And you're going...
you know, Jim does think ahead, too. Like,
yeah,
you know,
actually, he says I know, and... can I stop you right there? It was Atlanta against Tampa Bay, and I just happened to ask Dion who he thought would win the game and why.
And they're mentioning T.J. Duckett, who is a much larger running back than Warrick Dunn, saying maybe they should feed the ball to this guy. And Deion Sanders says, "Well, I always say when in doubt, give it to the big black." Now, there's a moment where no one laughs. Right, because, you know, he meant to say big back, but he said big black.
Back. He said big black back. That's what he said.
And when they came back from the break.
No, there was no break.
Or back from the
break. After he finished his analysis of the game, I told him I appreciate your special insight. And might I add, I'm glad you're the one who said that.
You know, good for you for dealing with it. I think people get too uptight about things like that.
I don't know if I told it on the radio, but I told all the guys, Jim, and I know we bust your balls, but I thought you handled that very well to not address it after it had been said.
Right, of course.
You couldn't do that. And you did it in a lighthearted way, and good for you. And Dion seemed to laugh about it.
Oh, yeah. He it was just a slip of the tongue for him, and we just moved on from there.
And, okay, here's the analysis now, because it's obvious I watch your show. I watch the other show, and I watch even the other show. But I must tell you that I am making the CBS show my go-to show.
I thought it already had been.
Well, Jim, you know, quite often it would depend on, if I was in an NFC or AFC mode.
Yeah.
But now I'm just kind of in a football mode. And the criticism I would have of the Fox guys is that there's forced chemistry this year.
It really does seem to be forced. It seems like they go bananas for no reason.
There's lots of that pushing and
right.
Holding hands and
like
and,
we're having too much fun and it's not real.
And you do seem to have a pretty good rapport on your NFL show with Deion Sanders and Dan Marino and Boomer Esiason.
You know what I like about it? It is, and that's the thing I do like about the CBS show is that it is a little more understated and it's not forced, and they seem to really be enjoying themselves, but not shoving it down our throats.
But the highlight, though, is when Jim picks the games on TV. Because, you know, for a long time they didn't let him.
Nostradamus.
They didn't let him do it, and now they let him do it at the end of the game. And, you know, it's really that show, like this show, it's a battle of the big mouths. And at that point, Jim jumps in.
Yeah.
And that's one week I'm fully expecting you to just rip the shirt off on TV, Jim. you guys...
It could happen. Of course, you know, now that you've refreshed everyone's memory of how I've gotten involved in the picks here for about a year and a half, you might as well tell them what I did last year to earn the moniker.
Well, he, you know, he comes from a position of power here. There's no doubt about that.
He did something with the Super Bowl last year.
I only nailed the two teams that would be playing in the Super Bowl on the first week of the season.
Now, and that's what made the test.
How about my picks for this year, man? Coach week six.
Can I just say, Jim, that it's just a tragedy that after that incredible season that you happen to miss the biggest game of the year, but I don't think that should take away from...
Yeah, I don't remember that for some reason.
Your overall record.
Throughout America, you watch the NFL today on CBS this weekend, and let's run a count, a total. Let's get a total every time Jim Nance announces that he has predicted... That it will be, is it Indianapolis and Tampa Bay?
Yes, I picked it before the first, you know, on that first Sunday of the season. And, you know, I got a lot of protests about, where in the world did you come up with this Indianapolis pick? So now I'm worried about the Bucks getting there.
How are you feeling about those picks right now?
I'm feeling pretty good about it, to be honest. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Tampa, you know, is going to be right there at the end of the season, even with that loss and the earlier loss to Carolina. They're still going to be, when it's all washed out, 11-5 or 12-4, and no one's going to want to play them on the NFC side come playoff time. And then you look at Indianapolis, you know, they busted out of the gate here with a 5-0 start, and that was my theory all along, was that Dungy, who I have a lot of respect for, would have that defense turn around in his second year, and that they would have, come playoff time, the first or second seed procured in the AFC, which would then
listen to him.
Which would then, of course, mean they would have that first round bye. They have struggled mightily. This predates Dungy.
Listen.
It's back to the Mora days come postseason.
But they'll have that huge
playoff home field advantage.
Listen.
And I expect that they're on course to do just what I said they would do.
Jim, I want to remind you, and you have to take equal blame here. It was last week on this very segment. You were late, but you managed to get your picks in. I more emphatically than you, but I did state it was the lead pipe lock of the year to take the 49ers, to take the Lions playing the 49ers. And you were right there with me.
I was. Of course, you know, for those who are inclined to go and make a friendly small wager with a neighbor, or someone else they can get on the telephone.
You would have gotten killed.
No, you would have won that game if you took Detroit. You took our advice.
But
the Lions, well, I don't know, what do they call it? Cover? They covered?
What do you call it?
What do you call that when that happens?
What is that term?
I mean, something like that. We didn't disgrace ourselves with that punch pick of Detroit over San Francisco. We probably made a lot of money for some nice folks out there.
Those folks who understand the cover system.
Yeah, whatever that is.
Made some money for some nice folks out there. I love it.
No, Jim,
some nice people in the Caribbean.
Jim, let's talk CBS. Let's talk
CBS.
We're
here to spread a little love, boys.
Let's talk CBS for a second. Not so much the football part of CBS, but the whole that is CBS. Your feelings on the...
Do you mean the whole, like the whole enchilada, or the
whole, like the black hole? Like a primetime schedule or something?
No. I meant WHOLE, the whole, not
okay.
HOLE.
Okay, gotcha, right.
Your feelings, Jim, on Lisa Remedy's show, King of Queens, being moved to Wednesday night at 9.
Well, let me put it this way. And I know you guys are really in tight with Leah Remedy.
With Lisa Remedy, yes.
We've had a bit of a falling out, Jim.
Oh, you have? Yeah. See, Kevin James is my man.
Okay.
Kevin's a good pal of mine.
We agree.
We get together every year at Pebble Beach, have dinner with he and his spectacular lady friend.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese girl?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Is it the Japanese girl? The Chinese girl? That's the one he was in, that I think he's going to marry now, the one from Vegas.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. She's Asian. Yes.
How do you feel about the moving of the show? Do you think it can succeed Wednesday night?
I watch it because I care deeply about his success, and that was a risky move, putting him on Wednesday nights at 9:00.
Mm-hmm.
But the first week out, man, they really performed beautifully over there. I mean, I know what Les Moonves is trying to do. That's how you do it. We own Monday night, and certainly we've won Thursday night, by the way, again last night in primetime, even with the red Sox and the Yankees and the whole NBC lineup. It was CBS's night
again. See, ladies,
I know a lot more about this than you ever imagined.
Listen to this. He is not just plugged into the sports.
So we are now trying to go in there and make a run at Wednesday night, and King of Queens did exceptionally well right out of the box. I was worried that could be a death move for them. But,
wow.
Shill. He's a plain out shill for CBS. Listen, he's got a good football show. He's on all day Sunday.
But he cares about the rest of the week on the network.
Easier.
This is truly, I earned Nostradamus more from my calling of prime time moves than I did football games.
Incredible. Wow. I just hope.
The other curious move, or the one that you had to look at very closely, was taking Jag off of Tuesday night at 8 o'clock and moving it to Friday.
Moving it to Friday, yes, a death knell. How will Jag do against the refurbished TGIF lineup?
Well, it's already again. It too has performed well here out of the box. very strong
Jim?
Showing there for my man David James Elliott, who called the Fiesta Bowl parade with yours truly.
Jim, one of my favorite CBS shows this year, and this is going to surprise you. I swear, on my kid's life, I'm serious.
Brotherhood of Poland, New Hampshire?
No, I'm serious. Joan of Arcadia.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I'm not making this up. A couple of weeks ago.
I have a hunch that has a chance to be the big sleeper hit of all the networks this year.
We're sitting around there, we're going, what are we going to watch? My wife and I, what are we going to watch? She turns on the Alicia Silverstone thing. She turns on CBS. Immediately, my first thought is, well, if it's not CSI or a CSI-like show,
right,
I'm probably not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm sorry. But she turns this thing on, and it's not as preachy as I thought it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, what are your thoughts about the future of the CBS?
Well, a lot of my thoughts are first off, but that's how you spend your Friday night. That's just pathetic. Okay.
Sorry,
we're
Jim.
We're glad you're watching our network.
It's called being a regular guy. Having a regular life.
Media, it's tough to generate a huge number on a Friday night because most people have a life to go out and enjoy Friday evening, unlike you.
Yeah. Regular guy, let me explain this, how this works. You regular guy, get in the car every day, drive myself to work every day. No chauffeur, no nothing like that. Do the boop boop on my car myself, walk in, open my own office door myself, come down, have to set things
up. That's why around here you're known as Mr. Regular.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's amazing about our network? We have this Navy NCIS, we have CSI Miami and CSI, and you guys are the first to learn this, but as of Sunday, we're changing the name of our show to CSI NFL Today.
Hey, fantastic.
Yeah, you know what that is?
And every week, you won't just do the analysis, but you'll solve a crime as well.
Yes.
That's good. I like
it. Jim, again, the new title of your show is?
NFL Today CSI.
Okay.
Anything else you need to know about a primetime lineup?
I'm amazed, Jim. Your depth of knowledge amazes me.
Well, you guys haven't even said anything about Yes, Dear. That was there was this one episode of Yes, Dear.
Oh, God.
That aired last March that did this off-the-chart highest-rated episode in the history of Yes, Dear.
That's the one he was on.
He convinced people out of television studio.
That was funny.
They said, maybe we could take this great success story of King of Queens, put them over there on Wednesday, to bolster our Wednesday lineup, and this Yes, Dear now seems to have caught.
Hey, Jim Nance!
There he is.
Based on this one show, and they had, it's the highest rated show in the history of this.
All right, my brain's starting to hurt.
Jim,
right
what
now.
Do you think of us?
You guys have been unbelievable.
Jim, are you a tool?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Jim Nance!
Oh, my God.
I'm looking forward to my return engagement this year on Yes, Dear. I might even have a little bit of a semi-regular role in there.
You know what I think I'd like to see you on?
Quite a plate in your case.
I'd like to see you on one of the CSIs as a bad guy.
You know what I'd like to see?
As a victim?
No, not a victim, as a bad guy. Like one of the guys where they go to your palatial estate and you're some captain of industry and you're responsible for the deaths and you find that out right at the beginning of the show. Those are the kind I like.
The
guy did it. And then they just work during the entire hour to convict you.
I think it's a very good idea, and I've talked to my agent about this because, whether it's Ten Cup or Yes Dear or Arliss or Raymond, I'm tired of playing myself on these shows.
It's time for you to branch out.
There's a lot of range there these people don't know about.
Mm-hmm. You got to branch out into acting.
Jim, absolutely. Would you consider a role in a Murder, She Wrote, made-for-TV movie?
Is it coming back?
Well, at CBS, isn't it always coming back?
Hey, we can hope.
I think
it was big. big thing coming up seriously over here at our place, November the 2nd, 75th anniversary of the CBS television network.
Hey, Jim.
Wow.
Going to be live on a Sunday night, November the 2nd. We're going to be on the air with a doubleheader. I think that date will about 7:30.
Three initials.
We run over.
He's a machine,
Jim.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to be on there live from the
ballroom
here.
Oh,
with every living person who had any significant part in the history of CBS.
That's going to be a very small room. That's going to be a very small stage then.
That's nice.
Jim, can you tell some 75-year-old jokes for us?
We're just going to have a little small segment there to try to put into words the 75-year proud history of CBS Sports.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right.
I'm very honored to make the distinction there
to say the proud history.
Be somewhere between Mary Tyler Moore and James Arness.
Uh-huh.
See, the thing is,
he's a CBS billboard, man.
You know,
it's amazing.
Jim, how long have you worked for CBS?
This is my 19th year.
Let's give him a nice round of applause.
Good 19th
wow.
year. Turn on the show and watch Jim giving Walter Cronkite a pedicure.
That's probably what it'll be.
That'll be wonderful.
All right, Jim, you're out of control as always. You're wound up like a top. You've got CBS fever. Let's pick the games. Now, we're picking for charity.
God, we're back to that. Sports again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got headaches after you talked about the CBS lineup.
Okay, here we go. And again, we're playing for charity. Jim's charity, the Three Amigos. Please go to WJFK.com.
Let me write down which teams I picked. I sure thought I did better than 2-3 last week, and I'm almost about to demand an audit, but let's keep going.
Click on the icon there for Don and Mike's show, and then click on the icon for Jim.
Thank you.
October 2nd on CBS, see Jim Nantz give the high hard one to Carol Burnett.
Oh, my God. Wow.
It's tremendous. Harvey Korman will be there.
Yeah, that'll be a fantastic show. It'll be terrific.
All
done in the finest taste.
You don't like that brand of comedy, do you, Jim?
He's been silent.
Carol Burnett and Harvey Korman and Tim Connolly?
No, you give it a high hard one to her.
Oh.
No. I know you
out of bounds.
Out of bounds. Okay, let's get back
all
in
right,
bounds.
Jim. Here we go. First game. And who would have thought, really, when the schedule makers are coming up, this had to be a dog game. You looked at this one.
Carolina, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And I'll take, you guys go ahead.
No. You go ahead, Jimmy. You go first. Carolina, Indianapolis.
Now, we're talking football, right? We're talking about where we should schedule this on what night of the week on our programming. You know, should we move this to Tuesday night?
Jim,
no, I'm going to take everybody in the world can sense a letdown game here for the Colts. But I just don't think Carolina has enough firepower to win this game. They'll keep it close. It's going to be an ugly game because it's going to be a flat Indianapolis performance, but a win. You got to win games like this to do what I said they're going to do, go to the Super Bowl, and they'll win it ugly, like 20-17, Indianapolis.
Here's the thing, Jim. Indianapolis, really not a home crowd. I think that they're disinterested, even though their team...
What? How many times have you ever been to the RCA Dome?
I have been, Jim, as a matter of fact, I worked in Indianapolis and grew up in that area.
Yeah, when did you move away?
Well, after the Colts arrived.
Well, how do you know that they don't have any excitement at their home games?
Because I have friends who live in Indianapolis who are season ticket holders who said when did they play Jacksonville?
But most of your friends are hungover on a Sunday.
Jim, these people said that you go in there and it's like walking into a morgue. That the Colts are 3-0 or 4-0, whatever it was, and it was dead in there. Anyone can win in there.
I'm telling you, I've done a lot of games through the years in Indianapolis, football and basketball, in that place. Fever pitch.
Carolina.
Huge home field advantage.
Take Carolina in this game, Mike.
I'm going to go with Indianapolis.
Well, I'm glad you're taking Carolina.
I'm glad you're taking Indianapolis.
Boys, stop it.
All right, Jimmy, how about Tampa Bay at Washington Redskins?
Going to be a bounce back game here for the Bucs. Do you know that every Washington game so far this season, all five games, have been decided by 3 points or less?
Pretty amazing.
And somebody was telling me that, I don't know, what do they call it, the line on the game or something like that?
Yeah, whatever that is.
I think that's what it's called.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, the line.
And, you know, is 3.5, which means that you would think that Washington, even if it doesn't win, might, what is that word again, cover?
Again, there's Jim working funny.
He's out of control today.
I like Tampa Bay here.
Tampa Bay.
To bounce back here. Important day for them.
All right, I agree with you. I won't say anything else. I like Tampa Bay, too. Mine.
Yeah, you have to go with Tampa Bay in this game.
There you go. Clean sweep.
Here you go, Jimmy. Kansas City at Green Bay.
This is the game of the day. This is the rematch of Super Bowl I. And should I lay, I've got the great nugget now. Should I drop it on you right now, or should I save it for 12:50 on CBS on Sunday?
What's the nugget? If you got one, drop it here.
Please give us one.
No one's going to hear it. Don't worry about it. If you drop it on this show, you might as well just open, you might as well just open your window and scream it out your window. You'll reach more people.
We want the nugget.
Here's the nugget. Since Favre came to Green Bay, which obviously transformed a franchise that was going nowhere for a number of years into, you know, the franchise has won a Super Bowl, you know, with Favre. They have had 13 times in the Favre era, teams come into Lambeau Field riding a three-game winning streak or better. Are you with me?
Yes.
The Packers in those games are 12-1 at Lambeau. In other words, KC will join that list, and they will become 1-13 now. Those teams that come in hot in the Lambeau, they get knocked off there. And the pick here is Green Bay.
Mm. You know what? I'm going to have to...
That was a pretty convincing argument right there.
I'm going to have to agree with you with the caveat. Do you think the Packers will be smart enough, on punts at least, to kick away from Dante Hall?
Here's the answer to that, in short. Green Bay on punt coverage is number one in the league this season. On kick coverage is number three. So special teams is something they spend a lot of time working on, practicing, and excelling at. So I think this week Dante will not break one.
All right, well, I agree with you. I'll take Green Bay. Mike?
I disagree with both of you. I think Kansas City's going to stay hot, and I think they're going to go into Green Bay and win.
Here we go. Jimmy, we got two more games. New York Giants at New England, who looked good last week. Jim?
The Giants or New England? Let me ask my assistant, Melissa, here to make the call on this, because I've been wavering back and forth.
Melissa.
All right.
All right, Melissa.
Mr. Nance.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Nance, I couldn't.
Man, oh, man.
New England or the Giants?
She wearing knee highs?
Are you groping me, Mr. Nance?
We're taking the Giants.
Giants.
Ah, fantastic. Right. Thank you, Melissa.
I will disagree, Jim. I thought New England looked great beating Tennessee last week. I'll take New England.
I'm torn in this game. It's hard for me to pick. I'm going to go with the Giants, though.
And here's your final game.
Because of Melissa.
Buffalo. Buffalo at the New York Jets. Jim.
This is one of my real preferred games of the day. I seldom put something on this level of a five-star play, a five-star pick.
Oh, wow.
Okay, this is a five-star.
Okay. And that, but if you give us all this buildup and you take Buffalo, you lose all credibility.
The Jets will win their first game of the season.
All right. Got it. And Jim?
What are you picking there, Don?
I got to disagree. I think the Jets stink on ice. I will take... I'll take the, go ahead. There's that confident laugh. I'll take Buffalo.
I'm going with Buffalo also. Absolutely.
All right. That's how you do it. That's how you pick them.
And boy, we departed on a few of these. This should be an interesting week.
This reminder, October 2nd on CBS.
How about November 2nd?
Excuse me, November 2nd. You're right, Jim. See Jim Nance live taking a sauna with TV's Becker.
You think he'll be invited?
Ben,
will he make the list?
Yeah. Well, he's such an NBC guy, you know.
Yeah, I don't see him there. I don't know.
I think they should give you the guest list.
Mike's right, you know. I mean, he's too much success with Cheers over at another network.
Yeah,
you can't bring him out there.
I boycott him.
You can't parade him out there. You can't do that.
There he is, very loyal and just way too hepped up on caffeine or whatever it is. Jim Nance, the show. You know, the NFL today, and it's on at 12:30, 9:30, or 11:30.
How about 12?
12 or 9 or 8, depending on where you live. Or 7, or in Hawaii, it's like in the middle of the night.
Yeah, TiVo it.
But it's great. It's really a good show.
Are you guys on right now in Hawaii?
In Hawaii?
We still have an affiliate in Hawaii?
We don't know.
You don't know?
I don't think we are, Jim. But for those who may, we are on in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So... Isn't the same time difference in Alaska?
I don't think that's
quite
in Alaska.
No.
Hawaii? Or maybe the station in Alaska is the one that didn't pay the bills. And
there are a couple of them that haven't paid the bills.
Hey, Jim, great talking to you.
Guys, next week we have to review the Sunday and Thursday night lineups on CBS.
We'll look forward to it, Jim.
Okay.
All right, Nancy, we'll talk to you later.
See
you,
fellas.
All right.
Bye. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Bye, Nancy.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Oh, well, he was wound up today.
My favorite moment is when you repeated, "Hi, hard one," to Carol Burnett. All he said was,
No, no.
No, no. Out of bounds.
Nancy and Melissa, we had a nice two-girl show there for a second.
That was fun. Yeah, do you think he'd be, I thought he'd lose a little bit when he gave him the lineup. He was, my God, he's Mr. CBS.
Wow. Let me tell you that. And our move, Jag, to Friday night, really helped the lineup.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Jesus.
Jim Nance. Knows where he works.
We work for CBS, too, but you don't see me lining up to give a BJ to, Mark Harmon?
You're right.
Is that the guy? Navy CIS?
Yeah, Navy CIS. It's another crime.
One man
crime.
To bring good news to his people.
It's funny, though.
He made it up.
You know, and you longtime listeners, you're the ones who really can tell. The Jim Nance that we had on the show 3 years ago,
when
we rotate these guys.
Yeah.
Right, he's gone from shy to confident to exhausting.
You know, the segment used to be timed out at 12 minutes, 12 to 15 minutes. Uh-huh. I had 25 minutes set aside for Nance today.
Right.
And we had to cut him off.
Yeah.
He could have kept going.
Sure. Yeah. Let me tell you about our Sunday night lineup, Don. Our radio guys, Don and Mike.
Your lead story tonight, Buzz.
Tonight, Rush Limbaugh finally comes clean.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this was all exploding in the early part of the show.
Don't want to hear about it. He's not a CBS guy.
No, he's not.
Stay tuned. News and comments.
News and comments coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Hey, Jimmy, that was very...
Ted Danson professional, Don.
This is the Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Wow. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
It was supposed to go. You can call anytime. It's time for Buzz's News and Comments. Mm-hmm. Buzz, the news show brought to you by Averimax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try VMAX. Let's do a constant contest.
All right.
Yeah. Just give away something right now. Oh, I forgot that. Thanks, Ron.
Lick the bean. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Speak to us.
Don and Mike, hello.
Good afternoon. Can I get on with the boys, please?
Yeah, you're on. And listen, you're an instant winner.
Oh, thank you very much.
What is your name?
My name is Chris.
Chris, where are you from?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Chris, let me see you've won the Halloween costume, courtesy of Masters Costumes. Even though they're in the D.C. area, they'll send you a costume.
Well, I need all the help I can get. Thank you.
Go to masterscostumes.com. Masters Costumes, a real costume shop.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Now, as we're doing now with the new constant contest, we ask you, did you have something to say when you were calling?
I absolutely did, and I'm free to say whatever I want. I'm a new listener to you guys. I really enjoy the show, but as a constructive criticism or whatever, a lot of times, like when you guys just talk about the personal stuff that goes on in your life, as a new listener, I don't know any of these people.
Okay, well, let me explain to you how you can, and I won't be flip or angry with you, even though you're testing my patience. The way that new listeners catch up is by listening.
Well, I understand that.
Much like if you were going to start watching a soap opera, you have to watch it for a couple of days to figure out who's happening.
Yeah, you catch up, and the more you stay with it, the better it gets, and then you find yourself just tragically addicted like Rush Limbaugh.
Here's the thing. We just, frankly, don't have the time for losers like you who have not been listening to the show from the beginning. We don't have time for losers like you who like to reset everything.
Hey, but Don, technically he's not a loser because he won a prize.
He was a winner.
Yeah.
But we just don't have time to reset it, so you're just going to have to catch it as we do it.
It takes about 2 to 3 weeks, and then you're completely up to speed, and you'll love it.
There's a classic modern.
I do love it. I'm in it for the long haul, and thank you very much. Honestly, it was my pleasure to find you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good day to you.
Why are you shaking your head, Rob?
Rob, he's don't be filled with hate.
He's
don't be.
Bail.
No, he's not. No, he's with us. He's with us.
No, he's got his costume.
He wanted to know how he could get background on everything we talk about.
No. God forbid something bad happens.
Rob, it's Las Vegas. It's not Sacramento. Let him off the hook.
I don't like it.
Yeah, let me off the hook.
For old time's sake.
Hey, but you, come on. You do your job.
It's all over cable.
You listen more, okay?
I'll do it. Okay. I honestly enjoy the show. Thanks.
Good.
Thank you for the prize. I appreciate it.
Don't mention it.
Very nice.
Thanks. I won't.
Hold on, please.
Go in peace.
You wouldn't get that kind of kindness in Sacramento.
No.
wouldn't accept it that easily.
No.
You know how it would go? Explain what you just said to me. I'm a Sacramento caller. I said, listen, I just listened to the show.
We don't have time to wait for you, you loser. You've got to just listen to it and catch up with everybody else.
Yeah, but I want to, you know, you talk about this stuff and I just don't understand it. I don't understand how that works.
Well, listen and you'll catch up. It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, but I just started listening and I don't understand how it works.
It's like a soap opera. You got to give it a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I just started listening and then you talk about these things and I don't get it. That's how it would have gone.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we would have gotten angry.
Here's a call from Sacramento.
Oh, good.
Hello?
Is this the Don and Mike show?
Yes, it is.
Hey, F that guy. I've been listening for 10 years. Don't even think about catching him up. Yeah. He doesn't want to listen to the program.
Now,
F him.
Dark Cloud.
Now, what do you want to do, Mike? There's a guy from Sacramento.
Yeah.
Who is actually doing the correct thing.
Prove the point.
Whatever. Whatever, okay.
That's all I have to say to that.
See you later.
Whatever.
All right, yeah.
Whatever and what
F,
not.
No, F him. Don't
what not.
Him.
Okay,
F
bye.
Him. F
what
him.
Not.
Okay, bye.
I wanted to ask you about that, too.
What?
I'm thinking about renaming my band.
What?
To what?
To what not. Rob, you shook your head immediately. You didn't even think about it.
No. There's no need, even in a sarcastic way, to underscore people using that word. Don't. Reinforce it. That's a bad word. That's a
Don,
word for simpletons.
I like the hamsters dead. Or the dead hamsters.
Dead hamsters?
That's ooh. Good.
Dead hamsters.
Oh. The Dead Hamster Band.
Mike O'Mara and the Dead Hamster Band.
Or simply Dead Hamster. No, I don't want to. We're not a punk rock band. The Dead Hamster Band.
The Dead Hamster. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
The Dead Hamster Band.
I will float it out there. The Dead Hamster Band.
I like it. Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, let's talk about Rush Limbaugh.
Let's. Rush Limbaugh has finally started to come clean as promised. He said on his radio show today that he is addicted to prescription pain medication.
Here's the sound of Rush Limbaugh coming clean, incidentally.
Okay. Somehow I think there's more. He said he would also enter a 30-day... I was right.
You asked for it, you received.
He would enter a 30-day rehab program at the end of today's show. He says an array of guests, a guest host, will fill in while he's away. He also says that some of what we've heard and read is correct, but that there were also details in the press that were inaccurate. Says he'll clear those up later.
Wow.
Rush says he became addicted several years ago following spinal surgery.
He has a spinal tap.
Coming clean.
Oh, he is totally coming clean.
And if you can't get home, that's six of them going at once.
Wow.
That's two barps and four farts all going at the same time.
It's a barp. It's a barp.
Yes, it is. It's not a fart. It's not a burp.
It's a barp.
And now... Roy Horn edition.
Oh, that's a furt. Wow.
Anyway, so Rush Limbaugh... Well, he's finally done what we suggested, what I suggested last week, because I've been not in that situation, but in a, you know, in the arena. Mm-hmm. What you do is you F up and you say, hey, I'm sorry I effed up. I'm going to try to get help. This won't ever happen again. But you don't wait a week to do it.
Right.
And you don't let the Inquirer come out with a second article about you.
Yeah.
And you sure as hell don't do it on a Friday.
Yeah.
Because Friday is the slowest news day of the week.
Hey, try to sneak it in.
And it's a way to just get it in because, you know...
It's cold.
You know, as Jim Nance would say, you know, anybody with a life won't be home tonight.
Right. I would think with the amount, if the amount is true, the amount of pills that he was addicted to, I mean, he's going to have a tough go. I mean, and 30 days really might not be enough.
These are super addictive medicines. And not only was there the Lorset and the OxyContin and the Hydrocodone, but now we're hearing that there were other very powerfully addictive drugs that he was taking as well.
How did the guy manage to work every day?
I don't understand it because if he was taking that volume, wouldn't that? I mean, I remember just from being in the hospital when I had when I was on Demerol, that it absolutely turns you into jelly.
I had one of my friends, I was telling you the other day, one of my radio friends said, well, consider the fact he does the show from his house.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently there are four or five.
Limbaugh does the show from his house?
Yes, in Florida.
Oh, okay.
There are four or five DJs in America that do their homes from their house. And from what I've been able to discern from talking with my radio friends, out of, let's say, five, three of them are effed up. Because
There's no...
No policing. You don't have to show up for work.
There's
right,
no boundary to say you got to be there and people have to see you and see your eyes are clear and understand that you're ready to function. That
right.
Rush Limbaugh, if he wants to, can be sitting there in dirty, soiled underpants.
And nothing else.
You know, popping these pills and going, la, 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 and... Who's going to see him?
Right.
It's not like he's walking into...
It's so funny because the image is so different. You think of him as the button-down, you know, tie-wearing, suit-wearing guy, and you're probably absolutely right. He's sitting there with like a three-day beard and a bathrobe.
And I always thought that he worked out of WABC in New York.
I thought, too. I didn't know he worked out of Florida.
I assumed, when you assume you make an ass out of you and me. Hold on, here is a guy. We've been told it's a Good Friday call.
Huh.
It says on the screen, Good Friday call. Martin.
Whoa. Hey, Don, Mike.
Hey, it's a drunk guy from Las Vegas.
No, no, really. You know, I've listened to you guys for a couple of years, and I know Mike is an artist at his craft. He is just, especially the Jay Leno today was just awesome.
True.
But, Don,
this guy's bomb.
You do, no, Don, you do an awesome Rush Limbaugh.
You're so drunk.
No, no. When you do...
What time did you start...
He's at the loving stage, Don.
What time did you start drinking today?
Well, what time is it today?
Well, right now in Las Vegas, it's 3:21.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, what time did you start?
Oh, my God. I got to stop. Enough of this. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
What
you're in Washington, D.C. How do you know what time it is?
All right, a good point.
All right, good.
Oh, my God, that was a good call. That was a Good Friday call.
Drunk guy. Okay, back to Buzz and Rush.
Well, we're through with Rush, actually, for now.
We're through?
Yeah, you played the transition into Roy, and that's where we are now. The guy who runs the Mirage says the tiger that bit Roy Horn did so because it was distracted by a lady's big hair. Stephen Wynn has looked at the videotape. He says that as Roy and the tiger stepped on stage, the tiger crouched on all fours to check out the giant hairdo in the front row. Thinking this was part of the act, that lady reached out to pet the tiger. Well, Roy stepped between them. That's when the tiger grabbed Roy's arm with his teeth. The casino manager says that bite didn't even leave a scratch, but he says that's when Roy slipped to the ground, and that, he says, is when the tiger picked up Roy like a cub and carried him off stage. This matches Siegfried's story, but other animal experts now say the tiger was trying to kill the illusionist. They call it a typical killing bite. Animal experts say Siegfried and Roy have weaved a lovely story about how the tiger tried to save its human friend, but they say the story is wrong and sends the wrong message. Quoting one expert, the message needs to be, these are wild animals. And pussycat Pam Anderson is...
Do you think... Let me just stop you for a second, place. Buzz. As long as we're on the topic of tigers... Do you think these tragedies would be happening if the Detroit Tigers had a better season?
I don't understand.
I'm just trying to make a stupid joke. It's the end of the week.
It's a
tiger gone crazy.
Oh, the Detroit Lions.
And, yeah. No, the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, the Detroit Tigers.
They nearly broke the record for the most losing game.
Now, see, you just caught me by surprise. You really...
Meanwhile, Mike, I can't help it. It's Friday. But the old comedy mind...
It just doesn't stop.
Constantly
it's going 24-7,
out.
Isn't it?
Yes. 24-hour joke machine. Hello.
Yeah. And there's a guy in Las Vegas just rolling on the floor.
Somebody talked to me. I don't know who told me this. Said that he's not going to walk again. He's that messed up.
We've also heard
they're not releasing this to the press. How incredibly messed up he really is.
There have been reports that he suffered a stroke while in the hospital. You know, after losing all that blood.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Pussycat Pam Anderson.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reg! We just play that whenever we mention someone who's had a stroke.
Oh, there you go.
Pam Anderson is speaking up for the big cats. As a staunch animal rights advocate, Pam says Roy and Siggy need to release the tigers to an animal sanctuary. Quoting her, I am urging the show to use some of the millions of dollars it has made from exotic animals to build a state-of-the-art sanctuary and immediately...
I have to ask you.
What, Pam?
You mind taking off your clothes for me?
There she is. This is her press conference when she's talking about releasing the tigers.
See, the whole tiger thing for me would have worked if there was... Can you name one Detroit tiger?
No.
I mean, there's like, you know, is Al Kaline?
Well, I mean, that's a former Detroit
tiger.
That's
what I mean. If there was anybody...
Eddie McClain, Norm Cash.
There was anybody...
from the modern era Detroit Tigers that I could have thrown out, maybe it would have worked.
Yeah, that's a bad franchise.
The Tigers.
That's a franchise that doesn't have anything going for it.
No wonder they're eating Roy Horn. They stink.
So you think it all hinges on the baseball team?
Well, no, I think the last 5 minutes of the show do.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, no, not at all.
Oh, my God.
And back to Pam Anderson.
I had no idea it was so big.
She wants Siegfried and Roy to release all the animals and to retire them.
Miss Anderson, how will you accomplish that? What is your goal?
You know, the skirt's been riding on my ass all day long.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam.
She says white tigers bred in captivity carry a litany of health problems associated with inbreeding. Pam Anderson, concerned about inbreeding.
Hey, Buzz!
That's funny.
Hey, Buzz!
That's right.
There you go. Who says he doesn't earn his? There you go, Buzz.
That's news and comment right there.
That's right. After what his wife said about Brittany, the governor of Maryland may wish he was married to Maria Shriver.
Oh, man, this woman's an idiot.
Maryland's first lady said this week...
I think she makes a lot of sense.
You like anybody threatening to shoot anybody.
Maryland
that gets you going.
First lady this week said that she would shoot Brittany if she had the chance. That comment is now being labeled as, quote, an inadvertent...
Right on! Right on!
It was labeled by her press people as an inadvertent figure of speech. Kendall Ehrlich, wife of Governor Robert Ehrlich, was trying to express her frustration with the effects of pop culture on kids.
Oh, silly Frau Ehrlich.
Got carried away. The other unfortunate aspect of the First Lady's remark is that she made it at a conference on violence against women. She has now apologized.
Frau Ehrlich.
Wow.
Frau Ehrlich. I apologize. It's what we're all thinking when we watch Britney Spears.
No way, man.
Not what I'm thinking.
No, I'm thinking something else.
I mean, even when I'm watching that thing now, you know, I'm a slave. I'm a slave.
Here's a tip. Turn down the sound.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me?
The hell is wrong with you?
That's the only one making sense on this show.
Oh, stop
standing
that.
By the First Lady of Maryland.
That's right. Here you go. Just cruising that Republican highway again. My God. Damn it.
Well, this next story.
I didn't even know she's a Republican. I swear to God, I didn't know.
I know you didn't.
I just got to stand behind anybody that says she'd shoot Britney Spears.
Oh, God.
This next story has two morals. First, be skeptical of anything you read in a grocery store tabloid. And secondly, the internet is still the wild, wild west.
Really?
Yeah, really. It all started when Britney Spears reportedly dropped a bottle of over-the-counter pills at an airport.
Someone should shoot her.
Standing by the First Lady of Maryland.
First Lady's available. Mm-hmm. Maryland. A vermin-like tabloid reporter picked up the pills Britney dropped and ran a story about it. The
were
pills...
Were they actually cotton?
No.
La.
Vicodin? No, simple over-the-counter diet pills. Xantrex 3, a non-prescription...
This is Rush Limbaugh. Shoot her! Thank you.
And move to Maryland.
An alleged fat burner, it is, Xantrex 3. The company that makes the pills immediately seized upon this marketing opportunity and produced an ad entitled Revealed Britney's Slimming Secrets. Britney's reportedly furious and has her lawyers all over this. After all, she gets the big bucks for shilling Pepsi and sneakers.
See?
Those
See?
Renegade ads, by the way, have since disappeared.
Oh. See?
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 You like Britney, don't you?
I think she's very attractive, yes.
See?
See?
In a hot, sexy kind of way.
It's kind of the way you read your Britney stories.
Yeah. See?
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 You know, I think.
I think you're on the record with that.
Drive gently. That's the motto when you cross the line, state line into Maryland.
Right.
Drive gently, and oh, yes, we'd shoot Britney Spears here.
How much extra do you have to pay for that license plate?
You know, it kind of balances out. If you're like living in Prince George's County, kind of balance. You go, okay, well, I'm living in Bowie, but then on the other hand, you know, First Lady wants to shoot Britney Spears.
Everything's just A-okay.
And this is going to be deleted out. But this is a great joke. Really, it's not like...
Oh, God, that will... I don't think that'll see the light of air.
Sorry you missed that.
I said it's Cunny King season.
Christian Jorgensen.
Well, it's what I said.
Yeah.
I can't say it again. But that was funny.
Yes, it was.
It made up for the Tigers thing.
But it's always working.
Always. My,
you explain that to me.
I don't turn
it
off.
He's doing that thing where he takes his finger and he puts it almost in the crazy right. move.
Yeah. Can't stop it. Always yeah. going.
Like
on
a
the
machine.
On the way home tonight, I'm going to be, you know, just fighting the urge to call you.
Mm-hmm. And with comedy material.
And just say something that I think is funny.
Right. Meanwhile, my brain will be flatlining as soon as I hit the car. So beware, motorists.
Yeah, beware. Right. No longer will you have to lie awake at night wondering how newsreader Julie Chen got the gig as host of the reality show Big Brother.
Oh, don't think I don't already know, Buzz.
CBS executive Les Moonves has finally admitted they have a romance.
Oh, dear.
They've been dating officially since Moonves left his wife of 24 years.
Here they are now. This is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, you're going to hear, this is obviously Julie Chen, you're going to hear Les Moonves from CBS in a second. Listen now. That's not him. That's. There's Julie. Then,
give me a Hummer.
There's Les Moonves.
Give me a Hummer.
They don't understand it.
No.
Give me a Hummer.
Give me a Hummer.
大家应该会有商有量，唔应该好强硬嘅。
Give me a Hummer.
因为你系初次。I
just cannot believe the things that come out of this lady's mouth.
不过咧，你哋即系唔使担心。
Give me a Hummer.
因为咧，我哋中国人，佢唔会。
A source at CBS says they've sort of gone public now.
Oh, isn't that nice?
That's good. You know, that's really great.
Yeah.
So you really do sleep your way to the top, and then you don't hush it up.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
It's like. I don't get that.
I think she got all her jobs on her own merit.
I don't get it. I tell you what. She comes to Maryland.
Wow.
She's on the list.
Yeah, just look at the license plate.
Got a break, bud.
All right, then.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. They'll put more cash in your khaki pants. Don and Mike.
You have no idea how last second this is, this whole show. You have no idea. I'll tell you right now, and I swear to God I'm not lying. My pants are soaking wet.
I know.
You've done a little spilling today.
Yeah, there was the big gulp thing.
Oh. You didn't wet your pants. Why don't you make that clear to the listening audience? Rob is going to give me the, maybe.
That's my story.
Yeah. Stick to that story.
You know, something came out?
Well, here's the deal. They instead of putting the drink in the one big gulp cup, they put it inside a second one. And then because I'm a clumsy ox, earlier I knocked it over, meaning that the protective plastic cover on top of the big gulp.
Yes.
Wasn't there.
Oh, dear.
So right as we were coming back on the air, I leaned over with my arm and whooshed the whole thing.
Oh, dear.
All over my pants.
And that's a lot of fluid.
Yeah.
Yeah, a super big gulp. Okay.
That made the same sound as when I broke the toilet.
44 ounces. So it goes everywhere, and I'm trying to wipe myself off and wipe off the stuff.
Sure.
And I realize as we're doing this that we're coming out, the commercial set,
we're back.
We don't have a record, we don't have nothing ready, but we pulled it together.
Yeah, because we're professionals.
Yeah.
And I was helping over here doing absolutely nothing.
Because we're lucky.
I wasn't even aware of it. I was reading tabloid material.
Lucky
the good
or
thing
blessed.
Is you didn't call any attention to it.
Right.
Hey, how are ya? Okay, pal. Okay. Solitude. Solitude for me tonight.
I know, not me.
I know, not you.
Very good.
Tomorrow.
I know. Tomorrow, I got it longer than you got it.
I know. You win. Donnie wins.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Political analysts are accusing Jay Leno of being a late-night cuddle boy for Arnold Schwarzenegger and President Bush.
That is a bunch of crap.
They say Leno helped get Arnold elected and that relationship is more than just nauseatingly cozy.
Oh, we heard earlier today it's sexual.
Well, that's what we heard. And quoting one expert, it gave legitimacy to the notion that the election was not a partisan event. It was like welcoming home an astronaut.
You know, I worry when people just might tune in the show for a second. But I said we heard it was sexual when we were doing a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Earlier today.
We did just kidding. That.
Just so you know.
Comedy Radio.
Just in case you're one of those people that's just tuned into the show for the first time.
Comedy Radio.
Give you a little background.
The expert continues. It played into a strategy that this was a campaign for all, beyond politics.
1996. One columnist calls Leno a political pawn, and he notes that Leno, who frequently gets paid to speak to rooms full of Republicans, rarely makes jokes about the president. Leno's people say Jay never endorsed Arnold, but quoting Gray Davis, everyone in California thought he did.
I mean, when we were doing the bit with Leno, one of the things that I said was something I pray happens.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that he does something so over the top, Arnold,
yeah,
so over the top, so stupid, so horrific,
mm-hmm,
that when he is taken down,
mm-hmm,
when they have a recall for him, that some of it falls on Jay Leno.
Yeah, but it won't. You know, I think Leno is very skilled already at spinning this thing and trying to keep his distance, and it's a bunch of BS. Yeah. I hope people see through it. He's trying, and people are trying to call him on it.
But if you're just getting off an airplane,
mm-hmm,
let me mention that Jay Leno didn't have sex with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, as much as we might have portrayed that during our previous comedy sketch.
If you're just getting off an airplane,
merely a joke.
See, that's something that they say during the Redskins games.
And if you're just getting off an airplane, welcome home. wherever you may be landing.
It's a pet peeve that I have. It's just my pet peeve.
Right.
With Frank, uh-huh, with the guy who calls the games.
If you're just getting on an airplane, safe trip.
But he never says that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're listening, you go, Redskins ball, first and second on the Buccaneers 27. If you're just getting off an airplane, it's 7-3 in the second quarter.
And I like that. I've actually listened to Frank say that when I've gotten off an airplane, and I smiled because I thought he was speaking to me.
He was.
Hot dog.
Cameron Gray, you're just getting off an airplane,
mm-hmm,
right? That's right up there in the in your sports announcer's book of cliches.
Yes,
it can't be. If you're just, you know, he couldn't do if you're just getting off work.
Right, joined us.
You're just able to join us today. Yeah, right. Perhaps you've been doing it.
If you just finished that nice BM.
No.
And you didn't have a radio in your commode.
You had to be getting off an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Frank, whatever.
It's in the book. If you're just coming too. I like that one, too. This whole Arnold story.
If you're at home and nothing came out. If you were trying to work your man and nothing came out.
Yeah, let's give you an update. They didn't have sex.
7-0.
This whole Arnold story is so amazing. Somebody ought to make a move. Oh, wait, somebody is. The A&E cable network says it's writing the script for See Arnold Run.
Oh,
it'll compare his quest to become governor to his quest to become Mr. Olympia. Production starts in the spring. They plan to air it during the national political conventions. Next summer, you'll also see Arnold speak at the Republican convention. They have not yet found a guy to play Arnold, but they say the movie will be a blend of drama, comedy, and satire.
Oh.
They're also making a movie about Hillary Clinton, which will air next spring.
Well, they could get the same actor or actress to play both.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about Paula Poundstone?
Someone with powerful legs. That'd be great.
Powerful legs.
One way or another, that NSYNC boy is determined to go into space. Lance Bass says that after all the hoopla about it last year, which ended in disappointment, he still hopes to, someday. For now, he can only talk to middle school students about it.
What an idiot.
He was at a school and...
That is too funny.
Hi, let me talk to you about space.
Does he get to still wear his matching NSYNC? It was Backstreet Boys that had the matching outfits, right?
Right, I think so.
NSYNC was rebellious that they each, like one of them had an orange shirt on, the other one would have a green shirt on.
Mm-hmm. But NSYNC were also puppets in that video. They were like marionette puppets.
And I'll never forget the guy. He's not on Mad TV anymore. Years ago, he was on Mad TV and did the funniest impression of Lance Bass on camera. Yeah, with that stupid grin the whole time he's on there is great. Lance and his grin were at a school in Houston this week to commemorate the launch of the first human-made satellite, Sputnik, in 1957. Last year's trip had to be scrubbed because Lance couldn't scrape together the $20 million the Russians were charging. But quoting Lance, I'm not scared of any aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, even Bigfoot, sorry.
What? What was that, Buzz?
No, I don't know where Bigfoot, I misread a word, and now I just feel stupid.
What was the word?
The word was bigot, and I read Bigfoot. I don't know why.
I don't think, what kind of stereotype are you making? The bigots have big feet.
Let's just start that one over, shall we?
All right.
Even bigots can be creative. Some African-Americans are apparently...
What about Bigfoot?
Nothing about Bigfoot.
I thought the story was about Bigfoot.
No, it's actually about bigots, and that's where I went awry.
Is it about people with big feet?
No, not at all.
Bigots with big feet?
No, not in the least.
All right.
No.
The story is about bigots.
Bigots with big imaginations, I guess. Some African Americans are appropriately outraged.
Is this a story about bigots?
Sort of, yes. Very much so, actually.
Hey, Rob.
I've been on.
Listen carefully.
Oh, we have his attention.
Yeah, I love Bigfoot.
Some African Americans are appropriately outraged at a new board game called Ghettoopoly.
I don't think you can determine the ethnicity of Bigfoot.
No.
He's Buzz, how dare you say that Bigfoot belongs in any race? Because
I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe it's the OxyContin.
Yeah, well, you got to get off that. Maybe go into a 30-day rehab program.
And as they said in North Dallas 40, maybe that's why God called it the human race.
Amen, brother.
Because there's that one awful scene in North Dallas 40.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny because the coach is speaking to the team and the priest is speaking to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles Durning is that the actor?
Yeah, Charles Durning is the guy. The coach, the loud coach.
He says, guys, and he's drinking kale pectate right out of the bottle.
Yeah.
He says, there's something that was placed in a locker about 4 years ago, when I played ball at Maryland,
right.
And B.A. thought it would be important for all of us to hear. And B.A. is the tight-ass coach, the Tom Landry-like coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy reads it, and it's something about how all ball players should get together and play.
Right. Right.
And it doesn't matter what the petty differences, because that's why they call it the human race.
Bingo.
And then one of the jocks, one of the real guys, like John Matusak or somebody in the movie, says, Coach... What a football player, playing a football player, says, I was very moving home. Joe Bob and I wonder if we could have a copy to take home with us. And then all the other players busting his balls are going, yeah, me too, coach.
Right.
Me too, coach.
Yeah, and then he catches on, right? Doesn't he? Hey, shut the F up.
I mean, and maybe that's why they call it the human race.
Charles Durning reads it beautifully. It was so funny.
The board game Ghettoopoly is all about stereotypes. Each player is a pimp.
Now, is this about Bigfoot?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, forget I even said that, please.
Okay.
Please, I regret ever having
this
said that.
This is about Ghettoopoly.
That's right. It's a board game. It's a stereotypical board game. Each player is a pimp. They draw cards like, you got your whole neighborhood addicted to crack, collect $50. It's what it says on the card, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Properties include Westside Liquor, Harlem, Smitty's Triple X Peep Show, and...
You jumped around like a little bitch.
...and Tyrone's Gun Shop. Characters include Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. with their names misspelled to protect the defendant.
I'm talking to big white bitch.
The creator of the game is a man named Chang, David Chang. He's not taking any calls right now.
Once again, a black man.
I don't think so. Chang doesn't sound like a black name.
No, and he's not backing down. In fact, on his website, he's promising...
This is ghetto-licious!
...promising upcoming games like Hoodoo-opoly and Redneck-opoly.
All right, now here's the problem that this guy has had putting out this game. What you want to do is, it's just like the same thought that we have on the show. If you're going to put out a game called Ghettoopoly,
right,
you got to put out the Redneckopoly and all the other ones
at the same time.
Yeah, no,
at
he's
the same
promising
time.
that'll come up if they don't shut him down before he gets around to it.
Now, see, the guy's dumb.
Yeah.
If he had come out with all of them at the same time,
everybody wouldn't
be getting the play that it's getting.
And if it's Chang is his name, they ought to come out with Chinopoly.
There you go. In, to be fair, in sports, the American
Japopoly.
The American League Championship Series moves to Boston tomorrow for Game 3. The Red Sox and Yankees are tied at a game apiece in that best-of-seven series. And
go, Red Sox.
Yeah, and the National League's tied at one apiece going into tonight's third game in Florida.
You love to hurt me.
What about Limonopoly?
Limonopoly. Fantastic.
And the NFL is telling Warren Sapp to stop parading through the opposing team's pregame stretch. The league's threatening to penalize Tampa Bay on the kickoff and fine or eject Sapp if he does it again. The league acted after a complaint from Washington Redskins linebacker LeVar Arrington.
Hey, LeVar, shut up and just play the game. And let Warren Sapp do whatever the F he wants. Warren Sapp is one of the reasons I love football.
Right.
I love when he scored that on that tight end. When
he put his knees together and did that little dance.
He did the Beyonce dance. Now, he can't do it. And the problem is when you're a big guy like Warren Sapp and you're playing in a dome, when he turned around to do the Beyonce dance, his ass through his football pants is totally covered with ass sweat.
Yes, so it is, right.
It's not like he's out there dancing like he's getting it done. He's out there dancing because he's having a good time. I'm telling you, every time you get a team, and I'm no huge fan of the Tampa Bay Bucks, but here's what I do love about them, is that they remind me of the 85 Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the 85 Bears because...
They had attitude.
Well, first off, they had the punky QB known as McMahon.
Oh, that's the worst rap song ever recorded.
But the 85 Bears had heart.
So it gets back to McMahon with you. And I love when you recount the very brief story of what Jim McMahon said to you when you approached him at a game one time.
Oh, yeah. I met him and I said, you're not going to believe it. I've talked about you. I was in the Bears locker room. I was working in Chicago. And this is when people were giving him a hard time before they started winning.
Right.
When people would criticize him for wearing the sunglasses.
his own stupid fault. He never explained it. He was poked in the eye when he was a kid.
Right.
And he had to wear the glasses. Mm-hmm. He would just wear them. People think he was a dick.
Right.
So I'm in the locker room, and the Bears had lost, I don't know, 50-0, whatever it was.
Right.
And I stood there and said, hey, Jim, I want to let you know, I'm Don Geronimo,
mm-hmm.
WLS. I'm a big fan. I support you on the show all the time. I just want to say you're great. I don't want anything from you. He's really great. He looked me right in the eye, took his glasses off, and said, F you.
The kind of guy he was.
And I loved it. I walked away. I was happy.
Yeah.
I was happy. That's my Jim McMahon.
Sure.
That's
absolutely.
That's my guy. And that's why I like the Buccaneers, because they got something.
Because they're kind of saying F you. Mm-hmm.
They're not boring. They're really not boring.
Finally, a trilogy of Midwestern madness. A Cincinnati woman who was told she could never have a baby was naturally surprised when she gave birth while on the toilet.
Oh, dear.
Quoting her, I heard gurgling noises. I noticed something in the toilet. I said, oh, my God, there's a baby in there.
Oh, my God.
If you're a low-esteemed plus-size woman looking for sex, get ye to Cleveland, where the latest sport is called hogging. In short, young men there are trying to score with heavy-set women.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And in a Chicago apartment... In a Chicago apartment, police found the furnace cranked up to 100 degrees to help dry out 170 pounds of marijuana. Quoting a cop, once you got off the elevator, you could smell it. They put an air freshener near the door, like that would do any good.
Joe.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No! No, it's not another weekend.
We've got to go, yeah.
Yeah. No.
I don't got to be me till Monday. We'll see you on Monday with a new episode, everybody. Have a great weekend. Don't hurt yourselves. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, friend.
What is this about Bigfoot?
Solitude.
Oh, I hear you.
Solitude. BM Peters.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.